Hey, everybody. Rob here. And this fall, finding what you need online is easier than finding an immunity idol on Exile Island when you use Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast. When you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon CA. Because as always, I appreciate you thinking of me more than Wes would appreciate some Pepto-Bismol at the Survivor Taco Bar. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's a good guy. He hasn't been arrested yet, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and I am here with a guest here with me in the studio here today. A very nice treat this afternoon, because I am visited by, here he is, the winner of Survivor Panama, Exile Island, and one of the stars of the original Survivor Blood vs. Water. Here is Mr. Otis Buszkauskas.
Thank you for having me, Rob. It's a treat to be in your apartment.
Good to see you here in person for the first time since, I believe we did this podcast, I want to say it was February 27th, like last week of February of this year, but it feels like a lifetime ago.
It does. Literally a lifetime ago.
Yes.
And just to get here from Santa Monica, I Ubered. I just got in the back seat and my driver was Muffin.
Yo, my God. Yeah. You got in the back seat?
What do you know?
Oh, my God. So very nice to have you here. Of course, we talked to you at the beginning of the season. You came in at the last second. You saved the day. We had booked a podcast with Todd Herzog, winner of Survivor China. And it was I had the podcast scheduled with him on a Thursday like I normally do.
As you do.
Last second, he canceled on me.
He fell ill.
Said, okay, next, something came up. I'll let me do it tomorrow. I said, fine. The next day, I got a text message from him very early in the morning. Hey, I'm not feeling good. Can, I have no voice. I can't, I can't do it. And I wrote back, can you do it later? Is this do you want me to find somebody else? Never heard back from him. Ever again. I thought that was really odd. Not odd us. I thought it was very odd.
It was like a Julie and you were the Jeff Probst. Really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know what to do. And I just said, okay, well, I'm just going to move on. And, I reached out to you. You came in. Of course, now we found out a lot more about that situation. Todd apparently has, had this relapse. He was back on Dr. Phil recently. I haven't seen the episode, but certainly shed some more light into what was going on then. And of course, everybody is thinking about Todd and we wish him the best. But
yeah, absolutely. I actually didn't know that was the...
it's a whole big... they back on TV and Dr. Phil and a whole thing. So sorry, I don't mean to take you by surprise.
I think that just goes to show it's like, you just never know what's happening in another person's life.
Yeah.
You can make as many assumptions as you want and then it's like, whoa. Well, that was a lot more severe than we had
a lot going on. So we're thinking of Todd, and then when we talked, then we said, okay, well, this isn't the real podcast. We're gonna sit down and get together in person at some point later this season, and here we are.
And this is it.
Here we are.
I've booked 5 hours in my day for this. So
all right, well, good. It's always fun to have somebody here with us in the studio. Had a very fun show last night with Stephen Fishback. Your favorite Fishback, correct?
That is my guy.
Yes, your guy, Stephen Fishback. We talked to him last night and talked about everything that went on and really broke down, got into like a lot of the reasons of why did Josh get voted out. Stephen was a big Josh fan.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Josh was a good player as well. I think, in my opinion, last night came down to he set himself up against Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that and it's Clash of the Titans. Someone's going to die, right then. And it was him. I think kind of unfortunately for Josh is the Julie quit, because had Julie not quit,
sure,
it's likely, at least the editors would have us believe, that Jeremy would have gone home. But that's just textbook survivor. It's like, once you're ready to kill someone, you better do it, or else it's going to come back and bite you in the butt, and it did for him.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to get into all of that stuff today. I spoke with Josh this morning, had a nice talk with Josh, got into everything with him. All that's up on robhasawebsite.com. So that's all very good. Also, now, to prepare for this interview, I felt like the last time that we spoke, you know, it was sort of like, you know, we just threw it together. I was all ready to talk to Todd. I had all Todd questions ready. And then you came in at the last second, and I felt like I wasn't able to properly give you the interview you deserved that time. And I wanted to make it up to you. So I wanted to, since I've really known you, I have not gone back and looked at Survivor Panama. It's been in the rearview mirror.
Thank God.
Yes. And no, not thank God. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? That I've been watching a lot of old Survivor lately. Let me go and get totally refreshed on Survivor Panama before Otis comes in. I have watched all of Survivor Panama in the last 4 days.
And has your opinion on me changed in those 4 days?
I think I've learned a lot of things. You know, the biggest thing that I take away is like, you know, Otis is the most boring winner. And I don't think that's the case, because I don't think that you were a boring person. First off, there's nothing boring about Survivor Panama. You can call it a lot of things, but boring is not one of them. And Jeff Probst, even in my notes, that he calls the rivalry between you and Terry, he calls it like, you know, iconic, or he describes it with very flowery language.
Two battering rams.
Yeah, how is that boring? How's that boring?
You know, I think history kind of remembers things a little differently than it actually occurred.
Yeah, why did that happen?
Well, here's what I think. I think our season was the first season on Survivor that was packed with personality. Not being mine, you had Ceri, you had Shane, you had Terry, you had Bruce, you had Courtney. I mean, there were so many stories to tell.
It was like a sitcom where you're like the main character and you're sort of like the normal one, somewhat normal one.
Yeah, yeah, somewhat.
Somewhat normal one.
Somewhat odd.
Then you had all these like kooky characters around.
Right, exactly. So I think that played a lot into the perception of like, oh, I don't really remember him. And that's because there were so many other people to remember. Versus your season of Amazon, it's like people remember you and they remember peanut butter and chocolate, you know?
Yeah, I think they remember the girls more.
Well, I'd like to say that peanut butter and chocolate were as memorable as you, not more memorable.
Yeah, but
you.
The rivalry was huge.
It was. It was really big.
That was a big deal. So I'm not sure why exactly that, you know, you get painted with the boring winner brush.
You know what? I will say this, and granted, I was a young kid when I was on the first time. I was a little bit surprised at the way that they chose to kind of share the story, because I mean that was the overarching story out there while we were there, was this big rivalry happening. But you know, they do the best they can with their 42 minutes every episode.
So by the way, if you want to go back and watch Survivor Panama for yourself, are you aware of this, the new CBS Total Access Pass?
No, I'm not. Tell me
about that. CBS Total Access, they just came out with a new app where you can go back and watch every season of shows like Survivor, Big Brother, The Amazing Race.
Wow.
It's $5.99 a month. You can watch all these CBS shows, watch current CBS shows. And it just came out. They have a offer code right now through November 15th. Today is the 13th, so you got a couple days still on this. It's use the code, the promo code 1MFREE. That's 1M as in, give me an M word. What's a good M word?
Mason, as in Mason, Bobby Mason.
As in Bob Dog Mason. 1M free. You can use that and get the CBS All Access Pass.
So is that something that you can use on your computer, on Roku, on Apple TV?
I don't think it's on Apple TV or Roku, but you could do it on your iOS device and also on the website.
Okay,
so you can check that out and go through. There are commercials. It's not commercial free, but you know, it's easier than lugging around a bunch of DVDs.
Yeah, the DVD is the dinosaur of.
It's going that way. Yeah. It's going that way. So you can check out Odyssey season. You can watch Survivor the Amazon and all that stuff. And if you want to use the link for Rob Has a Website, the affiliate link, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/CBS app or click on the banner in the sidebar.
Boom.
There you go. All right. So let's get into talking about this rivalry in this season, because was Jeremy Josh, was that going to turn into Otis versus Terry?
Yeah, I mean,
it was it headed that way?
It had all the fixins, you know.
All the fixins, indeed.
And I mean, we got a little bit of it at the memory challenge where they squared off at the end. Was it just me, or was that one of the shortest memory challenges in the history of this?
Well, it seemed like the people there were, you know, this is not a season of Brainiacs. Again, we could call this a lot of things. You had people dropping off very fast. One of the calls that I didn't end up using on the voicemail was like, really, did John go out on the first question on the second thing? Like,
yeah,
he couldn't remember.
It was crazy.
The second thing?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, to John's credit, he did just get off of Exile Island, and that's no fun.
Yeah.
But everybody else has no excuse, especially the people that had just feasted. I mean, they got enough omega-3s to keep their brain function high for quite a while.
From the taco bar.
Exactly.
Yes. So this, you know, rivalry, it's, I think that's one of the things that was interesting about Survivor Panama, that we don't typically have two rivals get down to the end.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, somebody, it'll happen like it happened this season, where you have these two people who are gunning for each other. One will cut down the other one early here, right around the merge, or even pre-merge, like a Boston Rob versus Russell. What is really fun about Panama, or one of the things that's really fun about your season, is that you and Terry had this rivalry that went down to the final three.
Right.
Which is super rare. Last season, we had that a little bit with Spencer and Tony both getting to the final four, but they were working together at times also.
Terry and I never worked together. You know, I think the reason that we were able to get all the way to the end was Terry had the all-powerful hidden immunity battle, and he kept winning challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And my tribe wasn't going to get rid of me because they thought that's our only shot at getting rid of Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Very flawed logic, mind you, because, I mean, as we all know, well, maybe back then it wasn't the case, but nowadays, and this is the same thing that I have with John and Jacqueline, there is no way to run the table in Survivor challenges. Like, there's no reason for John and Jacqueline to be nervous about Jeremy potentially getting all the way to the final three. Like, they'll have a chance to knock him out somewhere down the road. I thought that was some of the worst logic from John.
Yeah, so let's talk about John and Jacqueline's decision, because they had to decide last night, who are they better off with? Are they better off with the Reed and Josh alliance or the Jeremy-Missy alliance? And ultimately, they go with Jeremy-Missy.
Which I think is the better choice for them, because if you look at the Reed-Josh alliance, there's really only one person in that alliance that they could take with them to the end and probably easily win against.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the brother. I've already forgotten his name.
Alec.
I think they probably beat Alec hands down. I mean, they have a chance to beat anybody because they're likable people. But if you just look at who ideally would you like to take from that alliance, Alec would be the one person. On the flip side, Missy and Baylor both look like goats to me. They've rubbed people the wrong way. And I think you have a better shot of winning going against Missy or Baylor. Plus, you don't have to beat Alec. You don't have to beat Keith. You don't have to beat Keith's son.
Wes.
Guys, I've watched the whole season. It's just very hard for me to remember some of these characters' names. There just hasn't been too much involvement. Anyways, I think he ended up making the right decision, but I think they made it for the wrong reasons. I think, you know, John said it really eloquently to Jacqueline, hey, we can't make a decision based off emotion. And then Jacqueline thinks he's thinking all the way to the end. But John's thinking was flawed. He doesn't have to go with Jeremy to the final three.
Mm-hmm.
He just has to get Jeremy to that core alliance. Now, where John and Jacqueline are really going to struggle, in my opinion, is right now they're in a power position, or this episode they were. But once they've done that, do they have tight relationships within their alliance that are going to allow them to get to the end of their alliance? And I don't think they do.
Who do you think is higher on the food chain in this alliance? Do you think that it's John and Jacqueline, or do you think it's Jeremy and Natalie with Missy and Baylor?
Oh, I definitely think Jeremy, Missy, and Natalie control that alliance.
So they jump to an alliance, and you think they're 5-6 in that six-person alliance?
Yeah, absolutely.
So would they have been better off? Because I think that they would have been in the top four in the other alliance, unless you think Wes and Keith were probably closer with Josh.
Yeah,
and Reed. Do you think they were five, six?
Either way, they were going to be 5-6. I think either way, they're going to be low.
They might have been 6-7 the other
but
way.
But I think if they would have let on, like, and you see in this episode, Jeremy says, I don't trust John. He's sneaky. That's a terrible situation leading. I mean, that's bad. If mm-hmm. you have people thinking you're sneaky, and this is a mistake that I made, he needed to make his commitment to one side so that they weren't nervous at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should have been nervous as viewers, but the people that he ended up going with should have had absolutely, and I say he as if Jacqueline wasn't involved. They both were involved. They needed to make absolutely certain to that alliance that they were with them from the start to the finish, because equivocating doesn't work in this game, except for Tony. Somehow he did it.
Yeah.
But for everybody else, it doesn't work.
Now, when are you saying that you didn't do it? In Blood versus Water?
Yeah, in Blood versus Water.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to keep too many options open, and keeping too many doors open left me out in the cold.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, good door metaphor.
Thank you.
Very good.
The back door.
Obviously. Whoa. Easy. Yeah.
Well, no, not that back door.
Okay.
The back seat back door.
The back door of the back seat.
Yeah, exactly.
So just going back to this discussion between John and Jacqueline, like, I do find this fascinating in that you have a couple making a decision, and as people who are in, you know, long-standing relationships, it's sort of like you can almost imagine this. Now, you played Survivor with your brother, not with your fiance,
right,
or anything like that. So could you imagine John's position?
Oof.
That he goes to Exile Island and he has, you know, okay, we're doing one thing, and then he comes back, and now his fiance is like, no, we're not doing this. I'm not voting with those guys. I mean, how do you resolve that? Do you think he ultimately came around, or do you think he just was like, well, she's so, I can't go against her, and, you know, she's pulling rank, I'm just going to go with it. I don't think it's the best move.
I don't know how they resolved it. I know that if it were me and my fiance, oof, that would have been a tough situation.
You know? Yeah.
Especially if you don't agree with what your partner wants. I mean, Vetus and I kind of got into it a little bit, and it mm-hmm. never made the airways. But it's playing Survivor with a loved one sucks. It's just not, I mean, there's so many negatives to it. Granted, there's great memories at the end of the day. Like, Vetus and I can look back and have that, but it is tough to have to completely align yourself with somebody else's strategy.
Yeah. When I watched Survivor Panama, I had a little Vetus sighting at the finale too.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. That's sort of fun about the original Survivor Blood versus Water. It's like, you can sort of like go back, and it's like, you know, you could see Katie Collins
right.
In Survivor, the Australian Outback,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Amazing.
A couple, of course you see Laura Bonham
right.
A couple times, but there's a couple people like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's
like,
really,
oh,
they look so different.
It's a prequel. Yeah.
Yeah. Little did they know, little did Vetus know that he was going to be out there on his own. I can't wait for the day that, and I've said this before, that Vetus gets to play on his own.
Yeah.
He can't blame me for his loss.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is?
I think there's a little bit of Vetus feeling like, hey, if it wasn't for RS, I'd have won this thing.
I would have taken this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Textbook Vetus.
Yeah. I think, though, that Vetus playing again, I feel like he would be considered a threat. Like, I feel like that he would have a big target.
I would be curious to see how he did. You know, he's my brother, so I'd like to wish him the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, I bought him a car when I won, so I'd obviously want him to win so he could buy me a car.
Yeah.
But I think he's got his work cut out if he ever gets cast again. That's
interesting.
For sure.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you're rooting for him to go again, but also, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
Smart guy.
If you think you're going back and you get the edit which shows how crafty you were,
yes,
you don't want that edit.
Well, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I certainly can, of somebody who is like, you know, and Suri was able to, you know, overcome that particularly well in her second
right.
season.
And then the third time it was just too much. It was
yeah.
too damning.
Yeah. It's tough to go back with that sort of like, oh, this was a good player. And then come back and go
right.
again.
I feel like I've already retired my buff. I've bronzed it. But hypothetically, if I had ever gone back a third time, I feel like I would benefit from my being the most boring player.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that I would suffer the same way that other contestants have.
Well, you usually be in that like Boston Rob zone now, where Boston Rob coming into Redemption Island, where
right.
Now it's like, okay, well, he's, you know, he's not that big a threat. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
He's done well before in the past, but, you know, he's
yeah.
not that bad, you know. And so now you're in a good spot now. You could be in a better spot than Vetus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to play again. And I certainly don't want to play with Vetus again. Here's an interesting thought. This season, is there anybody, granted we're about halfway through, so we're not fully done with this, is there anybody that you'd want to see play again?
Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
That's a fair.
I think Jeremy is, I think he is like the best of this crew that we've had.
Absolutely. And he's got the best biceps.
He's good.
Josh probably wins the abs, but Jeremy's biceps with the vein.
Yes.
Takes it down.
Yes. He's a bigger guy too.
Yeah. More muscular.
Bigger guy. Yeah. So, good for Jeremy. Val's a lucky lady.
Yeah. She's very lucky. Very like, now that's going to be interesting. You're spoiler free. I'm spoiler free. I have no idea how this thing ends.
But spoiler free since 2003.
Pound that out. Bell it. Whatever you got to do. You know, I just want to see Jeremy win this thing, and then I want to see Val's face. That's all I really want.
Why? Because she thinks she...
That comment to start the game.
Which comment?
I don't need Jeremy.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a little harsh.
Yeah. Well, you know, Val went out second, and Tyson's girlfriend went out second, so there would be some symmetry there.
Ooh. Is there going to be more symmetry here on Redemption Exile Island?
Well, it's a fair question. Do you think it's an advantage to have your loved one go out early on these Blood versus Water?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. If you're playing Blood versus Water, vote your loved one out immediately, and that gives you so much more leverage. You know, I think that John and Jacqueline are going to struggle because they're this pair. And as you get down to the wire, that's a really dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes dangerous. You know, granted, within their alliance, look, if John and Jacqueline play this thing right, they're in an alliance of six. They have four of those people have a loved one. So if they play this thing right, they'd stay tight with those four. They could get to the end with two sets of loved ones. But that being said...
But that's not what's going to happen.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to happen?
No. Let's play it out. Let's just pretend for argument's sake that it's Reed and Alec and Keith and Wes. So those are the next four people that go out. Okay.
Right. Okay. So let's say they're gone.
They get down to the final six with Jeremy and Natalie. Or is it that too late? Do they need to be thinking at final nine?
I think it's seven things shift. Maybe even before that, maybe at the nine, maybe Natalie, Jeremy, and maybe Natalie and Jeremy at the nine decide we need to get more singles with us.
Yeah.
So let's say they knock out Keith this next round, hypothetically.
Okay.
Okay. So now there's no pairs on that side. It's Reed, Wes, Alec.
Yes.
And that's it, right?
Yes.
And then let's just say hypothetically, Jeremy and Natalie jump then.
So
to take out the pairs.
The problem is that I don't see, you know, Jeremy and Natalie, like those people that are left over there. It's like, who's going to work with them? I mean, you have really just the one person from the original Hoyopa. You have Keith and you have Reed, who were from the original Hoyopa group. And then you have Alec and you have Wes, who Jacqueline was turned off by them. Baylor is turned off by them.
Right.
I mean, Jeremy doesn't like those guys. So, I mean, I just don't know who's going to work with them again. They're right. Sort of like...
Well, it just depends. It depends on
persona
how...
Persona non grata.
If you're out there and you recognize, look, this foursome, these two couples, when we get down to the six, are going to cut bait and protect themselves. If you see that happening at the nine, you make your jump as well. It's as simple as that.
I don't know if these players are smart enough this season to say like, boy, I really hate this person's guts, but I need their numbers.
But Jeremy is.
Jeremy is, but I don't know if there's enough of that. Like, I feel like there's a lot of like, well, he farted around me, so he's got to go.
Right.
You know, he
this
has no manners.
Missy.
Yeah. Now we'll talk about that later. We definitely will. But I don't know. I just don't see people like thinking about it as the game. I feel like there's a lot of people just like, oh, like I don't like this person. I don't like this person. This person doesn't work.
Right. So, but do you, okay. So you see this six staying strong to the six. That's what you're saying.
The only person that I think could infiltrate the six.
Uh-huh.
I think would be Reed, but I don't think he's going to. But
right.
I think he's the only person that has the social game who's capable of that.
But judging on what Kelly said in her exit interview,
yes,
was that Reed's not trusted.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he wouldn't be someone who could infiltrate.
Maybe he wouldn't be. And then, but who would be the next best person? Keith. I mean, Keith has a relationship with Missy, but if we go back to when Keith and Jeremy had the thing about the immunity idol,
right.
Jeremy was no fan of Keith.
Right. Well, I mean, Keith does have an immunity idol.
He does. That could change things up.
And it looks like it gets outed this next episode based on the preview.
Yes.
So that could change things. If he uses it wisely, he could change something. you know.
It could.
Will it? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think potentially I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they still go after Reed in this next episode. And then I think we could have the old, when we get down to final nine, 3-3-3, flush the idol, flush right. Keith's idol move.
Right. I think it's going to go down to that six. I think we're going to see a wipeout of those four. And I think it's going to get down to the six. And then I don't believe Baylor and Missy want to go to the end with Jeremy. Do you?
Well, who do they want to go with? John and Jacqueline?
No.
Who do they want to go? Natalie?
Natalie. That's who they'd go with. Who else would they go with?
Twinny.
Yeah. I mean, who else do you see him going with?
Yeah. I guess nobody wants to go to the end with Jeremy.
I'm going to make this prediction. I'm going to predict that one of Missy, and this isn't a bold prediction. I mean, judging on the way things are right now, the odds are it's happening anyways. But I think Baylor or Missy will make the final three.
Okay.
One of those two will definitely make it because I think they're goats. At this point in the game,
mm-hmm.
Baylor's the ultimate goat, but I think Missy is as well. You know, you look at who's in the jury now, and you have a non-friendly jury for Missy. Josh doesn't like her at all.
Mm-hmm.
Who went out the episode before? Is Julie in the jury?
No, she's not in the jury.
Really?
Yeah.
So was she? They weren't going to be in the jury regardless.
I'm not sure, but they said no matter what, you know, that she quit, so we're not putting her on the jury.
Okay, so you got Josh.
Yeah.
Likely you're going to have Keith and Wes on the jury.
Yeah.
They don't like her.
Right.
So there's three votes against her right away.
Yeah.
And that's not even for actually a positive vote. That's three. There's no way she's getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were in the game, I would want to get Missy to the end with me.
Yeah, so ideally you want to go to the end with Baylor and Missy.
Yeah, get them to the end with you.
That's good.
Yeah, so if John and Jacqueline are smart, they give them all their rice. They do all the dirty work around camp, and they make sure they can get to the end. They make a promise. If John and Jacqueline are smart, they make a promise. Say, listen, you both of you will make the final three. One of us will go. The other one will be out.
Yeah.
Promise. Guaranteed.
Let's talk about, you know, the crux of why it seems like Keith and Wes don't seem to like Baylor, that she doesn't do any of the work around camp.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in going back and watching Survivor Panama.
Yeah, the Shane and Danielle story.
Well, the Shane and Danielle story, but also I felt like that there was Aris Bruce, Aris
right.
Courtney.
Right.
And you were a bit of a cop around camp of, hey, I'm getting a fire going here, Bruce. Can you help? Go get wood, Bruce. And also, yeah. Courtney, hey, we're working over here. Do you mind getting, stop doing yoga over there? So you were a bit of a, confronting leadership style in your early going on Survivor.
Yeah, absolutely. Regretfully so.
Yes.
You never want to do that.
Yes.
And that cost me a vote with Bruce,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the thing is your emotions eventually, when you're out there, unless you're really a master of them, they get the best of you sometimes. You're hungry, you're tired,
mm-hmm.
and you say things that might be okay to say to your loved one in the kitchen while you're making dinner at home.
Yes.
But not in the game of Survivor.
One other thing about Survivor Panama is that it was a very underrated bad weather season.
Oh my God. Terrible weather.
Yes. Especially seemingly like first
21 days.
Yeah. 20
Rained
days
every
or
day
so.
For 21 days.
Yeah. Extremely wet. And I can actually relate because I played Survivor All-Stars in the same place.
Right.
And it wasn't quite as bad when I was there, but there were some brutal nights there.
Yeah. And but that's what people don't know. They don't, just because you're in a tropical location, when it's raining, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's really cold.
Yeah, it's not good.
No,
it's not good.
About it.
So I can certainly see that being a reason why, you know, it might be when people are like, you know, laying around sleeping, there's more of an incentive. But this has been a very good weather
yeah,
season.
This has been a lot of symmetry with the first Blood vs. Water.
Yes.
Kind of in the weather, because we had one night of rain for 30 minutes in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they had that same thing here.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the difference, I would say, between what happened in Exile Island with Shane and Danielle,
mm-hmm.
versus what's happening with Baylor, is there's a mother involved.
Yeah,
and that's the part that I really was bothered with. With Keith was comparing his parenting style to Missy's parenting style.
Yes,
and as a new parent.
Yes.
You and I both know that plenty of people give you their advice that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, shut your mouth and just focus on parenting your own kid. And Keith made that really in deep insinuation about Missy as a parent, saying like, the worst of it is I'll go tell Baylor get wood and then you go jump up and say, I'll do it. I would never do that for Wes.
Yes, yes.
That was actually a real clip, by the way. We just pulled that off.
you pulled clips as well?
Yeah.
Well, I feel
got
like
the Google chip in my
I feel like that wasn't the worst of it. I feel like he also then told Mitzi how she should discipline Baylor as well.
Yeah, yeah. That, I thought that was all part of it.
If you were my kid, you done got whooped about 7 times today.
Yeah, if you were my kid, you done got whooped about 7 times today.
This message is brought to you by Adrian Peterson.
Oh, I mean, how do you say that to somebody out there?
I don't know how you feel like it's okay to tell somebody how to parent in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how you feel like it's okay to tell somebody how to parent on Survivor.
Yeah, that's just one of the things that I found so frustrating about this season where, you know, the idea of the game is to be charming and to, you know, get people to like you and not to tell people like, if your daughter was my kid, I'd have whooped her 7 times already today.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what Blood vs. Water allowed for the opportunity to happen, because
you
did have this opportunity to see people parenting. And I mean, you just don't want to see that on Survivor, but not as a viewer, as a contestant, you don't want that to happen.
Like, there's just so many things wrong with that. Like Misty is a, you know, I'm sorry, Baylor is like a 20-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not just, exactly. Like, not just beating a kid, he's beating a woman. He's
Like, it's like domestic violence.
It's everything.
Yeah. What's he doing?
It's everything.
And this is where I'm surprised that Missy wasn't really upset that Keith was telling her how to parent. He was more upset that he said, we're going to vote out your daughter.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's the right thing to be upset about.
Yes. And so it's problematic all the
way around, which it just goes to show these people aren't really playing the game. Even when John and Jacqueline are talking about who to vote out, Jacqueline goes, John's just looking so far down the road. Well, everyone should be looking that far down the road.
Yeah, but I thought she had a good point, because what she was saying that he was so stupid about was that he said, oh, well, if we go to the end with Jeremy, he's a firefighter and he has kids, so he'll definitely win.
Well, that was a good point.
That was a good point.
From John.
Yes.
Right. But you should be looking at that with every contestant. You should be asking, can I sit against them? Can I beat them?
Yes.
If I can't beat them, I definitely need to get them out. When's the right time to get them out? Who thinks they can get to the end with me and win?
Yes.
Make an alliance with that person, because I'm in their best interest to stay alive. I can actually trust that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel like, of course, you should. I mean, not that you're going to make a decision based solely on the long term.
Yeah.
But you need to be looking.
But his point was, we should go with the Josh and Reed alliance, because that they don't have Jeremy in that alliance. And so we'll have a better chance to win if Jeremy's not in that alliance.
Which I disagreed with, because there's plenty of time to get Jeremy out once you're down to the 6.
Yeah.
There's so much time. And you have an idol.
Yeah.
So,
but do you think that people really vote on the need factor, or is it 100% based on, did I like this person? And also, how did they play the game? I feel like I'm trying to think of a situation where, oh, well, that person was, you know, wasn't as much in need. Or unless they're saying that Jeremy's so likable, nobody could beat Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when you're voting for a winner,
mm-hmm.
very little of it comes down to need.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes down to it depends. Are you bitter? If you're bitter, you're going to vote from negation, not from positive. You're not going to positively reward someone with $1 million. You're
going
to hold $1 million out from somebody else.
Right.
So if you're bitter, that's how you vote.
Right.
Okay. If you're a real lover of the game, you vote on who do you think played the best game. And if you're neither of those and you're just kind of like, I'm going to just vote who I like the most.
Or who you want to get second place.
Right. Well, that's the negation vote.
Yes.
That's the bitter
vote.
Yes. The Vetus vote.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. So there's three votes. There's a popularity vote. There's a fan of the game vote, and there's a bitter vote.
Can I just go back to that for a second? Because you did that too in Survivor Panama, that you said to Danielle when Danielle won the final, and I had even forgotten that Danielle won the final immunity. You said to Danielle, just so you know, if you take Terry to the end, you're losing my vote and you're losing Ceri's vote. You took Ceri's vote away from her also.
Well, what Ceri and I did is we saw the writing on the wall with Danielle at the final four.
Yes.
And so we were on that boat together, Ceri and I, and we said, listen, when we get back to the beach, let's talk to Danielle and let's make her promise that if she or any of us win the final immunity, we take the person who's still in the game with us, because we knew Terry was going to make the final three.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, and if we don't, the person who makes a choice not to take them won't get our vote.
Okay.
So we did that before that happened.
Yes.
Now, granted, I would have voted for Terry, so I was being honest, but I think Ceri probably still would have voted for Danielle.
Yeah.
If Terry gets to the end, you have to give Terry the $1 million. I don't see how you don't.
You probably do. But you wanted to go to the end with Ceri? I couldn't figure out who you were trying to get to the end with.
I wanted to go to the end.
Like,
with
I feel like it worked. The way it worked out was the best case scenario for you.
Look, but, I'd like to pretend like I was some strategic mastermind.
Yeah,
but that would be a lie. I said this is the commitment I made to myself at the start. I'm going to make commitments and I'm going to keep them.
Yes.
And Suri was who I made my commitment to, and I was like, I'm keeping it. Period. And that's who I'm pulling for. If Suri and I get to the end, Suri wins 7-0.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I genuinely in my heart wanted to get to the end with Suri. I wanted to see that happen. And I was rewarded by her inability to make a fire.
Yes.
I even coached her up on how to make a
you
fire.
Did.
And it still didn't work. I mean, what you didn't see, by the way, in that episode, that fire took an hour.
Oh my God.
It took an hour. It took so long. I couldn't believe how bad they were doing it. And they both knew how to make fire. They were just so nervous.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, where are you going with this? Because I, in my mind, I thought you won the final immunity and then you took Danielle. I forgot that it was the other way around, that Danielle won the final immunity.
I mean, it worked out very well for me in all, you know, in all aspects.
I don't even know what she's thinking of not taking you all the way. I don't even know why it's a decision.
Right.
Like, I don't know why she thought that it might be better to take Tarity.
Exactly.
Like, there's three people from the other tribe sitting on the...
It doesn't make sense.
Anyway, so going back to this season...
Plus Shane Powers.
Yeah, plus, of course, Shane Powers.
Like, Shane was a big Terry fan.
Do a whole podcast about Shane Powers. Just going back to this a little bit... Let's talk about this Exile Island.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you played on the original season. It was in Survivor Palau, but, of course, your season is named Survivor Exile Island. And there's a little bit...
Survivor Panama.
Survivor Panama, and then they : Exile Island.
Right.
Okay, so they make a big deal about Exile Island in the Survivor Panama. And so there was a decision that had to be made in the episode last night of who do you send to Exile Island? And so the yellow group, which was... Keith, Natalie, Reed, Jeremy, and Wes have to decide who do you send to Exile Island.
So if you're Jeremy and you're Natalie, you're thinking to yourself, oh shoot, the people that I need to get close to in this next vote are on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they on the side, they're on the other side with my biggest enemy, which is Josh.
Yes.
So I send John to keep Josh and John from bonding. That's what I do.
Okay, so you do it defensively.
Exactly.
I'm going to go hide John on Exile Island.
Exactly.
Now, this ends up backfiring because it's when John is away and some of these meatheads...
it didn't backfire. It worked out for Jeremy and Natalie. If you're Jeremy and Natalie, it worked out really well.
Got it.
So if you're on that Jeremy alliance, that's the best move.
Yeah.
Because it stores him away and... Jacqueline has, I mean, we didn't know this was going to happen, but it's not too unpredictable, is that the meatheads end up...
Meat collectors.
Right. Yeah. The meat collectors end up alienating Jacqueline, and that, it seems to be, that's what sways the vote.
Yeah. And it certainly seemed like that was the biggest turnoff when you have these guys like Alec saying all sorts of crazy stuff.
Right. Absolutely. So like, now, if you're on the other side, if you're Keith and Wes, and who else was there? Reed?
Keith, Wes, Reed, Jeremy,
and Natalie.
Natalie.
Okay, so Keith, Wes, and Reed have the majority there. They should have sent who was on the other side on the other group.
John, Alec, Josh, Jacqueline, Baylor.
Yeah, they should have
sent Missy, I think. They could have sent Missy.
They should have sent Missy.
Yeah.
That and they had the numbers. That was a huge mess up on those three parts.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at that and say, all right, at this point of the game, we have to protect our alliance. It's a big time importance to send Missy.
Because in Survivor Exile Island, it became a big part of the game of we want to hurt the other team. We're going to send Terry to Exile Island.
And we were shameless in that season when we said, look, it's the six of us versus the four of them. And we would huddle up and like... intentionally do that to make it very clear where the lines were drawn.
Well, they started the Lamina tribe started it because when you guys got Bruce and then Bruce made you guys drink all of the bacteria water.
Right, exactly.
And you guys were feeling good for a little bit. Then you guys were like, oh, Bruce was a real lifesaver. And then they said, okay, oh, Bruce is helping them. We'll send him to Exile Island. And that started like...
It started war.
It started
cutthroat game.
All the collateral damage of... It was just like a war of attrition of whoever is the leader, we're going to send them to Exile Island.
Right, exactly.
But instead, these guys say, okay, well, this is, I know he can handle it.
Yeah.
And that's a BS answer because I know that that's what you said when you sent Danielle to Exile Island.
Correct.
I knew you were tough enough to handle it.
Correct.
And then the person is always like, oh, really?
Correct. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I sent her twice, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah. Now, is that always a BS thing when you tell a person that I sent you to Exile Island because I know you were strong enough to handle it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, I sent you because there were other people that were more important, and I didn't want to send them. That's the answer.
Yes,
you know. But I think it befuddles me that Wes, Keith, and Reed allowed for John to get sent. It's absolutely. That should never happen in that game.
Because he's in their alliance. Yes. And
you have your leader over there with him that could bond, and it's all there is Baylor and Missy on that side.
Yeah, they all don't like Baylor. Why not send Baylor to Exile Island?
Well, send Missy.
Keep
Baylor there so that John can really see how annoying Baylor is.
Yeah.
Send Missy because she's the strategic leader of those two.
It just seems like these aren't the conversations that are being had
on
the show.
For the most part, they aren't. And that's got to be frustrating as a player out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be really frustrating. You know, I felt that way with Courtney once in my thing with Courtney, as you watched, where we didn't know if Terry was going to keep the idol, the hidden idol, or give it to Austin.
Yes.
And so we knew that he wasn't going to give it to Sally. So that was the easy vote. And Courtney was completely unwilling to do that. And it was so frustrating for me to say, like, hey, strategically, if this happens, we lose a number, and I happen to be that number.
Yeah, just to set that up, it was six three at that point. And I was thinking, as I'm watching that, like, that would have been a great time for you guys to do the old 3-3-3 idol flush, which hasn't been invented yet.
Right.
But
well, no, we wanted to do the idol flush at that point. Was it 3-3-3? Oh, the 3-3-3 would have worked. We didn't know what happened if you went 3-3.
Yes.
So we didn't know that you would go back to a vote.
Yeah, it just hadn't been invented yet.
Right, exactly.
Hadn't been invented yet.
But because we wanted to do it at 6-2.
Yeah.
That's when we wanted to do the idol flush.
And so you were 3-3-2. The guy that the minority of three was going to vote for, and, you know, you were trying to get the vote switched to somebody else who was probably the least likely to have the idol in Sally, and they were like, no, we're but you ultimately went along with what they wanted to do. Was that just for the, hey, I'll take the gamble, I'll roll the dice for the good of the alliance?
Well, I couldn't convince him otherwise. So it was that, or should I go hang myself?
Yeah, I guess so. But ultimately, you withdrew eventually.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't force it to the point where it came to destroying the alliance.
Right. I mean, I probably pushed it further than I should have.
Yes.
You know, I definitely got a lot of feedback from Sri, like, what's wrong with you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see your point, but you're scaring everybody.
Yeah. No, well, I definitely got the sense that along the way, like, for Courtney and Danielle, if you just happened to get vote off because they were careless with a vote, it was
they didn't care.
We have the majority.
Right.
And, okay, that's one less person that is going to be a threat for us to get rid of. So
right,
I thought,
exactly. And I thought Courtney, she probably, of all of them out there, was the only one who really had me on the radar as a threat to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not Danielle.
Yeah.
Courtney did.
But it's hard, though, when you play in a bigger alliance like this, and this is something that I wouldn't be able to relate to, but if you're like the alpha male in this alliance of like 5-6 people, you know, I think that there is something to it where the people that are in the alliance don't care if you get picked off that much because it's like, well,
right.
And we were going to have to do it anyway, and at least we don't get any blood on our hands.
Yeah, and my only saving grace was that Terry was still around and people were petrified of him.
Yeah.
I was shocked at the way people were so afraid of Terry. They were sure Terry was going to win every challenge. He nearly did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He came really close.
Very, very, very close. So let's talk about this taco bar.
Yeah, let's talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. First of all, I really like the reward challenge. I thought that was a good challenge that they did.
Yeah, the memory challenge.
No, the reward challenge.
Oh, the reward challenge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought it was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. It seemed kind of epic, very heavy stuff moving around.
Yeah, I mean, what I liked about it is that it didn't require a challenge, a puzzle at the end that was going to nullify everything up to it.
Mm-hmm.
It really did reward. If you were fastest early on and you could keep that lead and you still had to be fast. I mean, that's one of my things about Survivor challenges these days, the group challenges, is they have these puzzles at the end that nullify everything leading up to it.
Yeah.
You know, but this one didn't. I liked it.
Now, this was the first group reward challenge that we've seen.
Yeah.
Now, do you like what they did here? So to go away from Hero Arena and now go to a traditional reward challenge?
Absolutely. The only thing I didn't like is I would have liked to see the Schoolyard pick 'em and see how that –
yeah.
happen, because that would have told us a lot more.
I know. I got calls about this also on the voicemail, where it's like, you know, if you're going to just draw like, you know, beans out of a bag, then
that's
don't show
thing.
Us. Yeah, don't show us.
Thing.
But I feel like there's a lot of strategy to take away from this when it's a pick'em.
Huge strategy. And yeah. it happened in Exile Island when we got down to the 9 and we had a reward challenge and we played that coconut in the boats game.
Mm-hmm.
There were 3 captains.
Oh.
There was Sally.
That wasn't shown.
No. There was Sally. There was, there was Bruce, there was Terry, and there was Danielle.
Yes.
Okay. Terry got
How did they pick the 3 captains?
Drew randomly.
Okay.
Okay, so, but then Terry got to pick first. So Terry picked Shane, not Terry. Shane picks Terry. Okay. Then Bruce picks me. Now Danielle picks, there's only one other athletic male out there, and it's Austin.
Yes.
But she chooses Courtney because she was her alliance mate. Which
yes.
then means that Shane, Terry, and Austin become a threesome.
Yeah, and this was it was like how did these teams are so unfair that there was this one team that was really stacked and loaded, and then you had this one team that was, you know, Sari, Danielle, and Courtney in this physical challenge, and then you really ended up tipping the balance to your own benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that challenge. Just to set that up, it was there were 3 boats. They all were filled with coconuts. You had to take the coconuts from one bin, put them in the boat, or you put them in the other team's boats.
Right. You could choose
and
which team you wanted to put
yeah,
them in.
And because, you know, everybody was so anti-Terry, Aris is like, hey, Danielle, Courtney, Sri, put all your coconuts in Terry's boat so he doesn't win. And they're like, okay, they start doing it, and it's like it's really just so you would win. And you even said that I've done a bad job here, I've exposed myself.
Yeah,
here.
It was not the smartest move. I mean, if the game was one challenge long, it would have been brilliant.
Sari also called you out at Tribal Council, which yeah. wasn't a very nice thing for an ally
no,
to do.
Not
so nice. But yeah, so they I feel like they should show that, but they for whatever reason they don't. I guess
yeah,
it's the interest of time.
And there's things they do show that you're like, this isn't really helping develop any strategic story.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are limited by time. I would have liked to seen them show the Schoolyard Pick'em, because I do think Schoolyard Pick'ems are interesting. Even if I don't know anybody, like, I would go watch adults do a Schoolyard Pick'em at this park today if you told me a bunch of
and
adults
And then do you want to see what they do?
No, I just want to see the reaction of
like
the person
drafts.
Not picked.
Yes.
No, it's not the draft so much. It's seeing how people react to being first picked and not being picked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was Missy's reaction to that?
I'm sure she was not happy.
Yeah, and who got picked first? Which guy?
Maybe it was Baylor and Jeremy? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are the questions that you might ask.
Good question. Okay, so we have the Survivor Taco Bar. Okay. First appearance of the Survivor Taco Bar, to my knowledge.
And alcohol.
I have to say, I thought the Survivor Taco Bar seemed very authentic.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
Looks pretty good. Seems like they went all out.
I contemplated coming over here with tacos and burritos.
Oh,
for us. I was thinking
wow.
about it. I thought about maybe doing some delivery,
yes.
making it a really special podcast, but I figured people didn't want to hear us chew.
Yes, probably not. Not good to eat on the podcast.
And they certainly wouldn't want to hear our gas.
Yes, well, then that would be a whole nother scene of, you know, all of the burping, farting, and whatever else.
It
would be like a real frat house in here.
It's been a gastrointestinal season, that's for sure. Spitting, burping, gas.
Everything.
So, let me ask you this, Rob.
Yeah.
Are you for or against, not in terms of them providing it, because I'm glad they provide it, but as a contestant, are you for or against consuming alcohol on rewards?
Hmm. I mean, I just as a Survivor contestant.
Yes, just as a contestant.
I was for it because, like yourself, I was 24 years old when I played Survivor the first time.
Uh-huh.
And so I definitely, now, did I overindulge? Like, I was never like fall down drunk.
Right.
But on one occasion, like, I was like, you know, definitely, you know, comfortably buzzed.
Comfortably numb.
Yes. To the point where I wasn't like making a fool of myself, but I was definitely like, I was slurring my words.
But you were definitely hitting on the producers.
No, I was never hitting on the producers. They're mostly guys. There's only one.
Well, obviously,
yeah.
that's when you do it.
That's when you know you've probably had too much. But that being said, you know, I might have actually, you know what? I should say that there was another time when I overindulged
uh-huh.
as a 24 year old, but not to the point where, you know, I made myself sick.
Right. Yeah, see, as a contestant, I've always chosen to stay away from the booze out there.
Yeah.
Not so much.
But you didn't play in a very boozy season.
That's true. I mean, yeah. we did have alcohol on a few of our rewards.
Yes.
But I opted against it personally, just because I thought, well, the only time I drank the alcohol is when I slipped and fell.
Yes, and then you broke the champagne glass in your back.
Yeah, that wasn't
that wasn't good. That's
no,
a
but
good,
the
good
reason
lesson.
The reason that I'm personally against it as a contestant is not because of what's happening that day, although you might get a little out of control. It's the next day. Your body's already in starvation mode, and now it's got to deal with a hangover.
Yeah, that was the word. That was the particularly, you know, I had a very bad hangover after we had our family visit, and that was particularly. And I may have made some questionable decisions that day due to a hangover, not being drunk, not from being drunk,
right,
but like
it's the hangover, it's
like
the,
I can't think clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
As a you know grown-up Survivor contestant, I think that. It would definitely be different. And for you, I'm sure that must have been very very interesting to play Survivor as like a very as a very young man, and then to play it as an middle-aged person.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was very a totally different perspective on everything, on the game, on being away from home.
Yeah.
You know, at 24, you're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I think Boston Rob is in the same boat, too, where he plays, like, this first time when he's, like, 25. It, like, does, like, Survivor All-Stars when he's, like, 27, 28.
Right.
But then goes back on, you know, Heroes vs. Villains, Redemption Island. Now he's, like, in his mid-30s.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta win this money to feed the four kids.
It's a different experience.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when you're a 24-year-old on Survivor, you think you're a grown-up. Hey.
Yeah, you think you know everything.
And that was definitely something that you went through on your season.
Absolutely.
Being a 24-year-old and in some ways, you know, a know-it-all 24-year-old.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you wouldn't appreciate running into the know-it-all 24-year-old even in your 30s.
Yeah, no, I would have done what Terry did.
Yeah. And Terry's, you know, 46 when you guys are playing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that being said,
thank goodness I apologized.
Yes.
Thank goodness I apologize.
Yes.
If only for the vote.
Let's go to this taco overload situation. So, I mean, what's... I mean, Keith tries to get him to slow down.
Right.
And he does not.
Because I think it's not just a taco overload. I think it's a combination margarita taco overload.
Yes.
I think that's what it is.
Yes.
You know, you can look at him and he looks like he's pounding margaritas as he's pounding burritos and tacos.
Right.
That when Sari and I went on our reward on through the Panama Canal.
Yes.
I got so sick that I just like Wes, I never threw up, but I got so full to the point of being so uncomfortable I wish I hadn't won the reward. I was like praying to be on Exile Island with Danielle and Terry.
Mm-hmm.
So I can totally relate to that feeling of overeating and being super uncomfortable. But I never drank. So that must have put a whole additional level of discomfort into Wes.
Do you drink in real life?
Yeah, I'll have a beer every now and again.
But you're not a big drinker.
No, I'm not a big drinker, but I'm not sober.
Yeah,
you know, just out on the island, I wanted to have my wits about me.
Yeah, I don't drink a lot.
Yeah,
I definitely used to, like when
catch me in college. It was a bad look.
Yeah, but no, I really don't. I really don't even. You know,
now,
once in a while.
Now the thought of getting drunk and coming home to my son, like that's scary. I don't want to be drunk around my child. That doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah, it's more like the next day. It's like, oh, I have so much stuff to do tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't want to be
the 5 a.m. wake up. That does not sound good.
Yeah. And so, you know, there was all this stuff going on about, you know, after the taco overload, there was this question of, you know, I usually do this later in the show, but let me just play the clip now of this was Alec talking about, you know, I believe Wes woke up and he said that he was, you know, he had to do all sorts of bodily functions and he wishes there are other bodily functions he could do. And then here's Alec.
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
Oh,
that's Keith.
Let's
pause for a second with that one. As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay. Is that like a Descartes, I think, therefore I am situation? Yeah. What's happening?
I don't know.
There?
I thought that's sort of like the same advice that Charlie's grandpa Joe gives him in the chocolate.
Right.
It's like, burp, Wes, burp.
Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Yeah. And not for anything, Keith looks somewhat similar to Grandpa
Charlie.
Joe.
To Grandpa Joe. Right. And Wes looks a little like Charlie.
I want to say that if I was going to cast Charlie in the Chocolate Factory with the Survivor San Juan del Sur characters, and I guess we might as well, since we've come this far. I think I would cast Reed as the part of
Charlie. I would cast Baylor as the part of Charlie.
So sort of like a Peter Pan thing?
Yeah.
See, Baylor I would cast certainly as Veruca Salt.
Okay.
I want it now, Mommy.
I want to pick it all up in my pockets, my bar of chocolate. Yeah, no, the Golden Goose, yeah, I could see that. So who is Augustus Gloop in this situation?
Augustus Gloop. I would probably have to say, it's got to be Wes, right?
Maybe, or John Rocker.
Or John Rocker, one or the other.
Mike TV?
Mike TV.
Josh. I give Josh.
Well, Josh I already cast as Charlie.
Oh, you gave Josh Charlie, okay.
Yes.
All right. I think Josh is the right call for Charlie.
I think
he's the purest.
He looks the part.
Right.
I think you probably have to give that to Reed.
Okay, and who's Willy Wonka?
I think it's probably has to be Jeff Probst.
Oh, okay.
I think it's his chocolate factory. People are dying. Instead of dying, they're getting voted out.
And who's Willy Wonka's spy?
Slugworth?
Yes.
I'm not sure. There needs to be somebody that's like coming in off the side, and I can't think of who Slugworth
Van
could
Wagnen?
Be.
Are we giving Matt Van Wagnen
sure.
Slugworth?
He could be Slugworth. Who are the other principals in the... who's the Violet Beauregard?
Right, you got Violet. So who's Violet?
I feel like she'd be one of the 20s.
Yeah, I can see Natalie going for Violet. Hey, is there anybody else?
Give me some gum now, you fool. Come on. The gum is for me.
Is there anyone else we're missing? There were 7 tickets, right? Or 6?
I think there was 5. I think it was 5.
Really? Jeez,
yeah.
Goes to show my memory.
I'm not sure about that. I have to really.
Yeah, we're gonna have to rewatch.
Really
it.
Think about it.
It's funny we're talking about this because last night Christy and I contemplated watching it.
Really?
Yeah, we really did. We thought, should we watch this? But we didn't. We settled on something else.
Yeah,
Naked and Afraid. We went with Naked and Afraid.
Not the one with Michael Jefferson.
No, we haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, you're looking for it.
Is it on Amazon yet?
I'm not sure.
How we watch everything. We watched Survivor this morning on Amazon.
Yeah, well, I have to go through and check it out.
The Rob link. What's the link for Rob on Amazon?
Oh, Rob has a website.com/Amazon.
Boom.
Or for those our Canadian neighbors to the north, Rob has a website.com/AmazonCA. That's
Boom.
New. We just got that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is a global takeover.
Yeah, Rob has a planet. Here's more burping.
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
Truer words have never been said on Survivor.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I'm trying to find. Okay, this is the part about where Alec is saying what he wants to do.
He's farting and burping.
I haven't done that yet. I wish I had burps and farts. If I did, I would make sure she smelled them.
I wish I had burps and farts because if I did, then I would make sure that she smelled them.
Uh huh. Yeah, so now the question that I want to know is that because then she would be able to give a clinical. Kind of
but what's wrong
diagnosis?
With these people?
It's rude.
What's wrong?
It's rude. It's a simple thing.
And you played with Shane Powers and Courtney.
Yeah.
And all these kooky people and Bruce and stuff like that. I mean,
here's my theory.
How are these people even on the show that they're...
Here's my theory.
I wish I farted on her.
Right. Here's my theory is that somebody... They obviously have cast some pretty immature people. All it takes is one, and that can trigger everybody else's immaturity and cascade so that your level of maturity drops to the lowest common denominator. And I think that's what's happened here. You know, I don't know how that's acceptable for those people in the game of Survivor, at least. Look, I thought Jeremy put it really well. Like at the firehouse, when there's no women around, of course we talk like that. But once a woman comes in the room, we clean it up. And I think that's probably true for most men out there. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would think there's
I don't know about farting and burping on people, because I don't think that's ever acceptable. But generally, like, you know, that kind of talk is acceptable amongst men. And probably when women are just with women, I'm sure they probably talk similarly. But when the sexes are unified.
Intermingled.
Yeah, you kind of
Well, let
you
me just
your
say,
tongue.
So I played in Survivor the Amazon, which was divided men versus women. And there was no talk of, even in the Tribe of Men, there was no talk of like, oh, I wish I would have farted on Butch because he could have smelt it.
I did fart in front of Ceree pretty big.
Yes.
I did.
I was going to say, you also played on a tribe of all the young men.
Right.
The most immature of tribe.
And we never did that.
Yes.
But I did come back from a reward, and I couldn't, I had seven bowel movements. I was like so
seven,
like full, not diarrhea. I mean, it was like well-formed. You don't need to know about this, but that's how much food I had eaten the day before. But I also had like a significant amount of gas, and I couldn't get up. I was just like stuck in the shelter, and Ceree could hear me from the fire. I mean, they were loud. And, yeah, you know, I did that. So it certainly wasn't the Hilton there either.
Yeah.
That being said, I certainly wasn't saying, Ceree, get over here. I want to poop on you.
Like, well, I should hope not. I think maybe we're going to get that for the Robin's podcast soundboard also.
There are some nasty ones on YouTube that if you type in RS farts, it's
RS farts.
It's not.
That's
a good
really
one.
That's really a search.
I think that's the first thing Christy searched on me
before
we met.
When you met your fiance, she went on YouTube and searched for RS
farting. What or RS she, farting? I think if you type in RS farting,
does she
farting.
Search that for any guy that she
yeah,
was dating?
I think
that
that's
she goes
I think
on
that's protocol
on YouTube.
She checks their Instagram, Facebook, and then YouTube farting.
I mean, is this is on Survivor or this is like?
There it is. 10,000 feet. 10,000
All right.
Views.
So I just did a search. RS farting. This is RS ripping farts after a huge meal on Survivor Panama Exile Island. This was added to YouTube 8 years ago. So this was might have been the first video ever posted on YouTube.
Potentially.
Okay.
Potentially.
Let me see what happens.
Amazing.
It was amazing.
Oh.
That's why I don't like you.
Come on, come back here.
No. Sorry. It's toxic.
I'm sorry, that reward. Oh.
Is it weird that I'm embarrassed watching this?
Was that from the bonus episode?
No, that was in the episode.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was there.
I don't remember that.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I mean, I remember watching it. I remember that airing on TV and having a date with me.
Yes.
Watching it and just being so red in the face, thinking this is going nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble now.
Yeah, was that a deal breaker?
No, it wasn't, fortunately.
Yes.
I made it through.
All right.
I made
well,
it through the...
The decorum of how this goes on Survivor came up at Tribal Council. I want to get your take on this this conversation which came up at Tribal Council.
Belch, fart, spit. They don't care if there's females there or not.
But we're not at the Hilton.
Not
at the Hilton, Missy. And I hadn't heard Wesley fart lately or spit, you know. But I've had a little bit of gas. I'm sure everybody on this panel's had gas. It's just a normal body function. This is Survivor, and stuff like that's going to happen. You're going to get dirty. You're going to get nasty. You're going to have gas.
Survivor, you're going to get dirty. You're going to get nasty. You're going to have gas.
He makes
Wednesdays,
CBS. He makes a good point. I think what he's missing is everything around it. It's the way in which, like, he's saying he wants to fart and burp so that Baylor can smell it. You know,
that was Alec, to
yeah,
be fair.
But I know. But that's what I think Keith is missing, is that you have that happening simultaneously with all that stuff.
Yeah. Now, look, Survivor is gross.
It is.
It's one of the grossest things.
There's nothing sexy about Survivor when you're
yes,
out there.
Yes. You're on TV. You watch it on TV. You don't have any idea.
Yeah,
like,
people look good. You don't smell them from your television.
Yeah. Everything looks, like, gritty. It's not, like, there's no island hot in real life.
If they created a smell that would emit from your television of what those people smelled like, anybody who has a crush on a Survivor contestant would immediately cease to have that crush.
Yeah, you wouldn't have that crush. It's you know, it's very like, you know, it's there's very a lot of things that are not fun and not glamorous about it, but
somehow it all looks good.
It looks good on TV, but still, I just keep coming back to that. Are people playing the game, or it's like, hey, I can fart if I want to. It's my right. I get to fart. Hey, we're out here on Survivor.
But it's the same. It's the flip side of that too. Which is like, oh, they're farting. Oh, why you can't be farting? I mean, both of those sides.
That's a good point.
It's like, yeah, in this culture. Absolutely, it's inappropriate here. And on Survivor, it's probably still inappropriate, but if someone's doing it, shut up and just let them hang themselves.
That's a good point also.
You know?
Yeah, why do you have to get mad about stupid
things? Exactly. Like, yes, you're right. You're right that he shouldn't have done that. If I could take back all those farts I let out in front of Ceree, of course I would. Fortunately, it was just Ceree and I, and we were at that point, Danielle and Terry were out on Exile Island together. So
yes.
It was just Ceree and I.
Yes.
And we were, you know.
Okay, yeah. So
we were
that,
stuck together.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I must not have had my headphones on that closely.
I'm glad I brought it up.
To be able... Oh, I'm glad that we got into it. We talked so much about Survivor Panama. I'm glad we were able to touch on that. Okay, so we have so many different things to get into here with ours. We've got questions from the Robins Podcast audience. We've got voicemails. You're doing okay?
I'm good.
You need a fart break? You're okay?
You know... Rob, here's the thing about the podcast is that naturally body functions happen.
This ain't the Hilton. Yes. By the way, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk about this. I meant to at the top of the show, but we had Parvati on with us last week. And we were talking with Parvati about the big LA Fest Team Survivor.
Right.
Do you have an update on how they did in the game?
Unfortunately, I wasn't there.
Yes, I know.
I wanted to be there. I was in San Francisco, but... Amazing Race ended up winning the reality division.
Now they did beat somebody, right? They like advanced the Survivor
think
soccer team.
They did advance to something, but I don't know how far they went. Vetus was supposed to play, but Vetus got in a big
accident. What
happened
to Vetus?
So Vetus was on his bike, and he has a big Rhodesian Ridgeback, and he was riding his bike with his dog, and his dog sees a squirrel.
Now that sounds dangerous.
That is dangerous, especially with a dog that's bigger than you are. And the dog sees a squirrel and like beelines it for it and knocks Vetus and his bike over, and Vetus had to go to the ER.
And I know.
Almost broke his pelvis. And
I saw pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Oh, my God. All right, so we wish Vetus a speedy recovery.
Yeah. No, he'll appreciate that.
Oh, my God. So Team Survivor went out to the LA Fest, and they played against the... I want to say they beat the...
The Bachelorette?
The Bachelor team. But in the fundraising department, I have to give a lot of credit to the listeners of Rob as a podcast, because Parvati came on here last week and talking about that we needed to. It didn't look good for meeting the goal,
right,
of $1,000 at the time that we recorded the podcast, and we gave out the link. And you know, Parvati has said that she would give out some buffs to people that donated a certain amount.
That's right.
And within about 48 hours, currently, the amount raised by the listeners of this podcast, they got that total up to $3,755.
That's amazing.
That went to support grassroots soccer. So I just want to give a big round of applause to you guys.
Yeah.
Well done. Really answering the call. I know that Ethan was really, really happy. So you guys did a great job. Parvati is working on getting those buffs out. If you have not gotten the message yet from me about getting the buff out, go send me your address and an email. I'm trying to get those out to Parvati. rob@robhasawebsite.com if you're one of the people that donated. Don't be like trying to steal a buff
from
Parvati.
Don't do that. Survivor.
Everybody else, you know, really appreciate all of the generous support. I know that Ethan and Parvati do too. Okay, so let's take some questions here from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Why don't we start here with Jessica Frey, who has a question for you. Wants to know, was Josh's last word saying he's going to eat a cheeseburger a shout out to you? Because, you know, if you eat cheeseburger, you are out of the game. If you don't have a cheeseburger, you are in the game.
Yeah, this is true. I would like to think that I had some sort of influence over that, but I don't know. I mean, listen, when you're out there, a cheeseburger is one of the top things you think about. So it probably had nothing to do with me.
One of the top things that you think about.
Yeah.
You declined the opportunity to eat cheeseburgers, though, in Survivor Panama and decided to compete in a challenge against Terry while your whole alliance ate cheeseburgers.
Yeah, because I was the only one whose name was going to be written.
Okay. How about this question from Daniel Hoag, who says, I think that John and Jacqueline aren't getting enough credit for controlling the game without getting people angry at them. John comes off as goofy, and Jacqueline doesn't have the most electric TV personality, but when we get scenes of them talking strategy, they seem to have their head in the game pretty well. What are your thoughts on this?
Their head's in the game. I don't know how well it is in the game. You know, my thought is that Jacqueline wants to make decisions based on emotion, and John has a unjustifiable fear of Jeremy in the end game. that being said, at least they're playing, because there's people out there that probably aren't thinking as much as they are. And yeah, they're not pissing people off yet, but they can't equivocate much longer before they start to really sully their position. That's my thought.
Yeah, that swing vote is tough.
You don't want to be the swing vote. You think you do, but you don't. You'd rather be the guy who's like, I'm clearly here. This is where I stand. These are who I stand with, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think that here's my take on it. Is that I think you want to be the swing vote. The problem is you don't want it to be known you're the swing vote.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you want to have options,
yeah,
but you don't want everybody else to know that you're the one who has the options. So, like I said earlier at the in the show, is that John and Jacqueline needed to let the Jeremy alliance, they needed everybody in that alliance to know that they were 100% voting that way. And just according to the edit, you know, we don't see anything else, and it could have been different. But according to the edit, they did not give that certainty to the Jeremy alliance.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a question from Jeff Denninger, who says, should Jeremy have tried to keep Josh around a little longer to keep the target off his back, or was he too dangerous to leave in the game? So just like you were talking about with Terry, that in some way, having Terry around was a net positive for you because people were so focused on Terry.
Right.
For Jeremy, would keeping Josh in the game be a good thing for him, or because he's the biggest strategic threat, then also keeping Josh around would only hurt his game?
No. Josh going out was the best thing he could have done.
Has to.
There are three people playing the game right now. You get one out, and then you basically got a 50-50 chance to get to the end, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that's
you don't
want to
leave Josh in there. Josh could really have shaken things up if he was given another 3 days.
Okay. Here's a question from, let's take this one from Joe. Joe M wants to say, what do you think of the strategy of a couple single alliance? Wouldn't the smartest and wisest play be for a couple and a single to be united as a threesome? Okay, so hear me out on this, right? Okay? So
first of all, anytime we're talking about threesomes on the show, count me in. But let's go on.
So you're in a couple, okay?
Okay.
And then you want to have another person join you for a threesome who's a single. Okay, you following this?
Oh, believe me, I'm following this, and I have plenty to say already. I can talk about this at length. That was Jervis.
Okay, so you
that
had,
was Jervis. Jervis, it was Jervis, so Otis, and Vetus.
Oh, okay. I thought this was, you're telling a different story.
No,
okay.
No, I would like to tell other stories, but apparently the FAA says I can't.
The FAA?
Sorry.
Was that?
No, I didn't.
Is Terry Dietz
FAA
working for the FAA now?
Oh, Jesus. All right, here we go. All right, listen, you know, my mind, I've had a margarita. All right, so listen, so. When I entered the game, my plan was to work with Jervis and his niece, Marissa.
Yes.
And my brother. Unfortunately, the way the game shook out, Culpepper identified Marissa as his biggest target early on, so she was out. So then it was me, Vetus, and Jervis. Well, that's great for Vetus and Aris, or Vetus and Otis, depending on how you want to pronounce the second name.
Mm-hmm.
But for Jervis, that sucks. Because let's say you're in a situation where there's four people left, and the other person not in your threesome wins immunity. Guess who's going home?
Yeah.
And so for the single, it's not in their best interest to do that. No, it's in their best interest to signal that they're into it, but they're going to have other outs, and it's never in their best interest.
Okay. So for a while, though, it's got to be in their interest.
Until you get down to your final four.
Yeah.
So you better have an exit strategy.
Okay. So the real ideal is, I think where the advantage is at the final five when you're in a single with a pair.
Right.
And then you say to the other people that are not in, that are in that final five that aren't in the pair, like, hey, let's get these people out.
Exactly.
Let's get one of them out.
Exactly.
I think that's the move. So yeah, you could, you know, take it down for a while, but I think that's okay. So here's a question. This is from Matt Rubio, who wants to know, who is the oddest person left in the game?
great play on words. Keith? Keith's got to be the most oddest person, most interesting person.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Alex, pretty odd.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's so much similarity
collector
between Alec and I that I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I shudder to think, but yeah, maybe. I mean, he's everything about Alec and his brother. They're like watching his brother's exit interview, he was actually very humbled by the experience. I don't know if you watched.
I interviewed him.
Right. How would you think about that?
You know, I felt like as far as Drew goes, I know he said that he got a bad edit and stuff like that, but, you know,
he didn't.
How could it be this bad of an edit? You know,
but
between the two of them, the brother is exactly the same. They're both the same guy.
Yeah, they're both very, very confident.
And I feel bad for you that you and your brother are getting compared to these two meatheads, a.k.a. meat collectors.
To be fair, I actually don't mind the comparison.
I'm a meat collector.
Yeah.
I don't mind the comparison because it gives such a contrast.
Yeah.
At least I like to think so. Or maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Are you and your brother meat collectors?
I don't even know what that means.
All right. Well, nobody really knows what it means. But I'm sure it must have been very disappointing for Alec to not go to the Survivor Taco Bar as a meat collector.
As a meat collector. It could have imagined.
Yeah, chicken taco.
Yeah.
It's you know what? Is somebody on the season a vegetarian? Because it seems like there's a lot of vegetarian options
first of
this
all,
season.
Here's the thing. Jeff goes, okay, we're going to have a taco bar included meat, chicken, pork, vegetarian. What vegetarian is not like
a taco.
There's vegetables.
Like, did Survivor A like get like a letter from somebody like, hey, if you don't start having vegetarian options on Survivor, there's going to be a lawsuit.
Yeah, but just the way that he said it. Like, yeah. He could have said like grilled veggies, but he said vegetarian.
Let's watch for that in the future for the surprising number of vegetarian options.
Or
that
vegan
available.
Options.
Vegan options.
The gluten-free.
Is Jeff vegan? Is that what's going on?
I don't know, but Jeff does have his own personal workout gym on location, every location.
He has a personal workout gym?
Yeah, like he has a gym.
How does that work?
I mean, that's one of the stipulations in his situation.
So tell me about this gym. Like,
okay, so this is what I've learned. Okay,
yes.
Is that, you know, there's like a village of crew, 300 crew.
Yes.
Housing for everybody. And then there's a gym for everyone to work out in. But Jeff requires his own private gym.
Private gym.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take that for what it's worth.
Is it like, you know, like a...
I think it's like part of his house where he's living.
Okay.
You know, wherever. Because they live in houses for the most part.
You know, from the sound of it, that sounds, you know, pretty bougie. That being said,
Jeff is
like,
not a bougie guy.
Until we see the, like, is it like
no,
a...
No, I don't think it's as bougie as you think. I just know that Jeff doesn't like working out amongst other...
Well, you know what? I could, you know, sympathize with that. Where it's like, you're the boss of, like, a 300-person company.
You don't want people seeing you only bench pressing 100 pounds.
Right, right. So,
you want to let people know that you can't curl more than a 50.
Like, you know, let's just see how garish the personal gym is.
Yeah, I don't think it's that garish. From all accounts, Jeff is a pretty low-maintenance diva.
Yeah. Okay.
But a diva nonetheless.
Yes.
Anytime you've been captaining a juggernaut like Survivor for 14 years.
With good reason.
Yeah, you're going to become
with
that.
Good reason. Okay.
Are we at 15 years now?
15 years of Survivor? It's going on 15 years of Survivor. So the first Survivor, I believe, filmed in like the spring of 2000.
Isn't that crazy? Doesn't it seem like yesterday the 10-year reunion happened?
Well, yeah. Now, did you go to the 10-year reunion?
Yeah, I had a monster beard.
Yeah, you had a monster beard. I just remember at the time, like Shane Powers like posted like a picture, I feel like. And he wasn't there, and he would like had a picture with you, I felt like. Maybe I made that up.
After party, maybe.
Maybe. But he didn't go,
yeah.
Right? He was making a big stink
that I'm separating myself.
Yes, because he was mad about the heroes versus villains or whatever.
Which, look, the people who should be mad about that are the viewers.
Yeah.
Because Shane is great television, any way you slice it.
Yes,
They
should be mad.
Put him back on.
But that being said, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately as we're approaching the season 30, the 30th anniversary, or not 30th, 30 season anniversary of Survivor. It does feel like, you know, that's when I started doing the podcast after the 10-year because I said like, oh, making a big deal about this Survivor Heroes versus Villains, and I really wasn't watching it very much at the time.
Right.
Like, I had watched Survivor Samoa, but I watched it sort of just like as a viewer. Like, I didn't
passively.
Like, yeah, I sort of like, you know, I missed a week, caught it on DVR, right, stuff like that. You know, I certainly wasn't like you know, gung ho about it like the whole way through. And that's what's kind of been fun, to go back and watch some of the
seasons that you weren't as
I wasn't super paying attention to at the time. But yeah, that, I mean, I feel like that was like a, you know, that's crazy to think to me that there's been 9 seasons since the 20th anniversary.
Right.
Like, there's pretty soon we'll be at a point where a third of the survivors weren't even invited to that party. They weren't even like a glimmer in Lynn Spillman's eye yet.
I remember when I was on Survivor Panama, it was season 12. And when people asked me what season it was, I felt like I was embarrassed that it had been so many seasons, like season 12.
Yeah.
And now that's like that's the first half of Survivor.
Yeah. Do you have any good stories from the 10-year anniversary party?
Well, Courtney got in got in Natalie's face, I think. Is that who it was?
Was it Natalie's face?
I think
Natalie
so.
Natalie Bolton?
No, it was the girl who won instead of Russell.
Oh, okay. Got it.
White.
Natalie White.
Yes. And apparently had to be escorted off the premises.
Yes. No, I had my own interaction with her. I think she was mad at getting mad at somebody. I can't remember if it was like, I know that there was like some sort of I was talking like with Jerry Manthe, and she was like fighting with her about something, like they had like some sort of like beef from Burning Man or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I could see that happening.
And then I think she was like getting in like Courtney Yates's face.
Because she was the first Courtney.
Now she's the Courtney that sucks.
Right.
And so there was some sort of a beef about that. So.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't know. But yeah. I imagine there was a copious amounts of narcotics running through her blood.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Allegedly.
But that's just my imagination.
Allegedly.
Because she was on one that night for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was.
That was kind of the high / low light of the night.
Yeah.
They did have a beautiful food spread.
Wes
would have been happy.
Nice spread, yes. I'm sure there was lots of burping, belching, farting.
Yeah. And they had lots of desserts, cookies,
yeah,
muffins.
Yeah, sure, lots for muffin. Yes, you would have loved it. And they'll never do that again. They'll never be like a 30, 40, 50 anniversary.
They should do a 30.
Yeah.
They should do a 30.
They won't, though.
No.
They won't.
That was a sadder thing of that. It was one of Jen, I think that was the last time I saw Jen Lyon.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. You know, I saw her
passed away not long after.
Yeah, not a few months after that.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I saw her a few months before that. Like, okay. I saw her like in like December, like pre Samoa finale. I had seen her, and like I got to talk to her for a little bit then. I don't know if I talked to her too much at the 20th season party.
She was in the back.
Yeah,
and there was only a few of us who went like and hung out with her.
Yeah, because she couldn't be around a lot of people. Yeah, no, so I definitely didn't see her then.
Yeah, that was. I mean, what's crazy is for me to think back to right after I won, we used to go to Cocoa Beach,
mm-hmm,
and there were all these Survivor events, and there still are Survivor events. But Jen was always at them, and before she got sick, she was always having a good old time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy to think how quickly all that turned. And
yeah, you know. Yeah.
But there used to be some rowdy Survivor.
Well, I feel like you would like see everybody. Like when you were on Survivor, it was like you would know all the other people that were from Survivor.
Yeah.
And really, other than like Twitter, you really don't like interact with the other people that are on the show.
It's true. And I feel like a lot of the new contestants, just me being on 2 seasons ago, I feel like a weirdo reaching out and be like, hey, congratulations.
Yeah. And I do the podcast, so I'm a lot more in it. But I definitely did have that feeling of it's sort of like going to Survivor stuff. Even like I went to something that was Survivor related around the time of like Fans versus Favorites.
Okay.
And I remember like going there, and it's sort of like I equate it to sort of like when you go and visit like your high school like 4 years later, and it's like the teachers all know you, but the kids that went to the school are like, who are you?
Yeah,
what are you?
I felt that way when Russell had his season. I remember like meeting Russell and feeling like a third class citizen in his presence.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, Russell, I've won this game before. Hey, I'm being very friendly and saying hello. And he's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, oh, all right.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting. I hope that they do something like that again, but I don't sense that they will.
Do you think they'll ever do, and they kind of use this in our season of Blood vs. Water, but like do a genuine old school versus new school Survivors?
I don't think so. I just feel like they're off the returning player.
They are, but this season bandwagon. Should put like, them I back feel, on returners.
I don't know. I don't know how season 30 went.
You know, I'm a fan of both. I like seeing returners and I like seeing all new seasons, like, but all new season sucks.
I got the sense that they, you know, at one point, like around like probably around the time that you were here last,
right.
Like there was like there was some sort of a flirtation with the idea of Survivor 30 should be like an All-Stars,
right.
Like Survivor, right. 20. And there was, you know, the rumor mill was going, right. And you'd start to hear like
all the survivors,
you
know, are calling.
Hey,
each other.
Did you get? Did they call you? Did you get, right. An email? How come I didn't get an email? Did, right. You get on the email? Did you get on the list? And you know, they must have like you know, whatever, like the board they look at or look at the pictures and, right. Like, do we have anything here?
Yeah, but you know what's funny is that like this season, for example, not a great season. I think, mm-hmm. We can all agree. There's some good characters. Jeremy's good. Josh was good. But for the most part, you'd say this is a bust of a season. I bet that sometimes when they think there's nothing, I bet those seasons would actually turn out to be very interesting.
Yeah.
I would really like to see First Offs play again.
The First Offs. I just don't think that from a marketing perspective, they could ever. I'm sure it would be good. And because one of the best First Offs, I think, was from Survivor Panama in Timbertina.
That's right.
I, you know, when I went back and I looked at that, like I wanted to
see how she would have fared had she not.
Yeah, because I in my mind, I remember her like, oh, that was a kook that got voted off first. And I don't think that she was.
No, she wasn't.
That was a false memory in my head.
I thought that her being on the show was a bit of usury on the part of the producers, to be honest. I don't think she was ready emotionally.
Because her son...
She had just lost her son.
But she would already was cast for the previous,
right,
season.
And wanted to go on. I mean, it's a tough situation, because,
yeah.
You want to give her the opportunity, but she didn't... She wasn't ready to be
just for people that don't... you know, have this recollection. Tina, she was the first person that got kicked off of Survivor Panama. She was on the tribe of four women that Suri really engineered her ouster. But she was, you know, she was great. You know,
real outdoorsy.
Yeah, she was a lumberjill. But she had a son who was 15 years old. He got killed in a car accident like 5 or 6 months before the show started. She was supposed to be on Survivor Guatemala, and she got kicked off. It's really a very heartbreaking.
Really heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that she would be somebody who, you know, would, you know, that would be a great person to bring back. But that being said, I don't think they'll ever.
Well, let's look who else. First off, would be interesting. Brooke Geraghty would be amazing.
In like a total train wreck way.
Well, Brooke Geraghty hasn't stopped thinking about being on Survivor. And I think a lot of people who are first offs don't stop thinking about it.
No, I know they don't stop thinking about
it. So that, there's so much there. There's so much train wreckage.
There's so
to
much
go through.
Train wreckage. But do we want a season? Like, is that going to be a good season of train wrecks? Like, can we, like, I know that the ad that, look, let me put it this way, that if you did a season of the first people off, it would be a better strategic season than 99% of your casts of like total newbies.
Right.
Because they are already thinking about the game.
Right.
Just like when on Fan versus Favorites in your season, I feel like, you know, at least the loved ones had like by osmosis learned a lot about the game. So even in 3 days, you've learned so much more about the game than the average.
Rupert would
person.
Be in a first off season. Just FYI.
Hmm. Okay.
Think about it.
Yeah. You know, I think that's probably
Tina would be in the first off season.
Can Wanda and Jonathan come back?
No, they don't qualify. Wanda does, just, yeah. From her voice. But
yeah.
But I mean, Francesca has a chance to get voted off first 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
I bring this up every time I'm with you.
I know. I know.
I'm a big fan of Francesca.
It's just such a it's such a fan fiction season.
All right, well,
season.
What's your ideal season?
What's my ideal season? Survivor Rivals. That's okay. What I want to do. I want Survivor Rivals. It's a blood versus water season. It's ten pairs, uh-huh. Two people that hate each other. So you bring back somebody and somebody that they can't stand.
So you have Boston Rob and you have Hans.
Yeah, that's probably too high profile, but give me like Corinne and Sugar. Give me, you know, just two people that like
didn't get along.
Just didn't get along, and not even like,
but
not like Aris
really,
and Terry,
but really didn't like each other.
They really, they hate each other. Then like, give me Abby Maria and RC. Give,
right.
Me people that,
I like that. That's,
yeah.
Interesting.
And so and then they hate each other, and it's they're.
I mean, like,
it's also a one world season. They all live on the same beach.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
And then we're going to, let's have sumo at sea.
But why do you need blood versus water in there?
I mean, it's a blood versus water format where you're with your, you come back with your, like, loved, like we can have Hero Arena where it's like, all right, so you have to go against your rival.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, it's like, so it's not, you're not bringing family, because I didn't really want to see Abby Maria's mother on Survivor.
No. And we've seen Abby Maria's mother on Survivor.
I just don't know if I want to see her in a full
season. Right. No, that's what I mean. So it's like, okay, today going up against in the Redemption Island duel, it's Mike Scoopin and Artis.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Are those two rivals?
Yeah.
What about Boston Rob and the football player?
Grant?
Yeah.
I think Boston Rob has somebody. If you were going to do this with Rob, I think you got to get Lex. I think you're going to have...
That's fair.
If you're going to bring Rob back for this.
All right, so who else? Do you have enough? Do you have 10 people?
I'm sure you have 10 survivors.
Five rivals? Do you have five... What do you need? No, you need 10 rivals.
You need 10 survivors that hate another survivor.
Right. So who do we have that?
I'm sure we have that. You know, you might have like one or two people that are like, it's a little bit of a stretch and those people will win.
Now, do they have to hate each other because of what they did on the show, or can they hate each other from things that happened outside of the show?
They could hate each other.
Like, could it be Courtney and Natalie White?
No,
or could it be Courtney
and
Courtney?
it should be somebody that really like hates each other, ideally from Survivor.
You've got to give me more than, you've given me two examples.
I'm just off the top.
I want to see this
off,
fly.
Off the top of my head. You want to bring like,
Do you bring Hatch and Sue Hawk?
No, because I think there's litigation involved there.
Okay.
But I'm sure that there's a lot of, like, just go
I just don't think there's that many people that hate each other.
I think there's 10. I think there's 10 pairs of survivors.
Is there anyone from Amazon that hated each other?
You know, off the top of my head, I can't think of one.
Right. Okay.
But I'm sure through 30 seasons, we can come up with a pair.
I just don't think there's that many.
Hate each other.
I mean, what about One World?
Survivor One World? Well, Troyzan and Kim?
I don't know. I think it's more of a love stretch. than a hate.
A stretch. But I'm telling you, we've got...
Don't see it. I don't see it.
Okay.
I like the idea, and I wish that happened, but I don't see the hate.
Okay.
You have to get them fresh off a season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Brenda and
Dawn?
And Dawn, does that count?
I don't think that they're a hateful pair.
Right. But does it have to be a hateful pair? Is that what
ideally,
you want?
Yeah, that's what I want.
So it's a season of hate.
Yes. Yes. That's what I want.
What if it's love and hate?
Love
so
and
you
hate?
Either love them or hate them.
Well, I think the teams that love, the people that love each other would win.
But they're on the opposite sides of tribes. And I don't mean love in a romantic, I mean they just really got along.
Yeah. Well, who wants to see that? People like friends?
You got to have a little of each.
Yeah,
you know, look, yeah. You can't have the highs without the lows. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people like Coach hates a lot of the people from his last season that he was on.
Right, and it's true. What about the specialist? Is the specialist?
Oh, the specialist. You have like 10 different people.
Yeah, who do you have with the specialist? Because you got to get the specialist back out there.
Yeah, I mean, you
do
could
you get Hance.
No more Brandon Hans.
Okay.
I would say maybe Phil. You could have Philip and Philip and Corinne again.
Yeah, Corinne has a lot.
Yeah, Corinne starts
great.
On Exile Island.
Yeah, Corinne.
Yeah,
Corinne could come back.
Yeah, because she has so many people. But there's a lot of people that just like find bad blood. There's lots of bad blood.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a show based on conflict.
Yeah, but there's just, I mean, at the end of the day, you come home and there's nothing there.
Something there.
Something.
You could find something. You could find something.
Tina and Tyson.
Tina and Tyson, they have bad blood. Yeah. Well, they had a feud.
They did, but they patched it up.
Okay. So let's take some more questions.
I like how we totally just veered off of the path. That was a nice little
that was definitely a detour.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Darren Chan wants to know, if Aris was on this season with his brother, how would you guys have done?
God, that's who knows. This is the honest answer. What do you want? We'd win. I mean, yeah, hopefully we'd win, but who knows? I think Josh said it pretty well when you interviewed him this morning, Rob, and he said, look, there's so many little things that you could change that a brilliant move becomes a bad move. A bad move becomes a brilliant move. I'd like to think that we would have a chance because it doesn't seem like there's that many people who are real students of the game out there, but who knows?
Yeah, but you might get targeted for that.
You never know. That's the whole thing. So it's a crapshoot anytime you're out there. You know, we talked about this a few times ago, Rob. It's like you go out there and let's say you play five times. If you win once, it's a pretty good number, you know, just based on the number of factors.
If you win the game once.
Yeah, if you played five times and win once, like, I think that's probably the percentage of times I'd win if I played.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably a realistic number. For someone who, I think I understand the game. I'm a student of the game. I like the
game. So you're saying that if you went out there three more times, you would lose three more times? Or you're saying if you had five more times to play?
Just have me play 50 times and I'd win 10, is what I'm saying.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but that being said, that means that 40 times I'm not winning.
Yeah.
You know, because I tend to think that they're going to pack. If you get cast, there's half the people that aren't going to win, period.
I agree with that.
So there, you're already at half, you know, maybe even more than that number.
Half might be generous.
Yeah. There's probably 75% of the people there that the production doesn't think can win it.
Mm-hmm.
100% chance.
You know, it's funny that when the last time you were here, we talked about this for Survivor Kagyan, and we did the people who had a chance to win and had no chance to win. Tony, we had in the no chance to win. And then I think we upgraded him to, he was a 1%er.
Right.
He was a 1%.
But
Tony Vlachos was a 1 in a million.
Yeah, he was. I mean, yeah, that was incredible that he won.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Spencer was 0% and he almost pulled it off.
Yeah, Spencer had a 0% chance to win the game. He had no chance to win.
And he still played.
Yeah.
Spencer has zero chance of winning this game.
But yeah, I think if I won 20% of the time I played, that's probably a realistic expectation.
Are people, again, it's like, is people like Men in Black, like they get their minds wiped?
Yeah, you get your minds wiped. You're not playing, like people aren't going to know how you played each time. It's kind of like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I think so. Because the other thing I think about your game is that I think that if Terry wasn't around, you would have won more of those individual immunities.
But then I would have also been a much bigger target.
You would have been a bigger target. So it would have been tricky.
Yeah, so there's so many things that can happen, but I do think you can put yourself in a position. But, you know, the fact that Sanders won twice out of twice is pretty incredible.
Yes.
Like, if there's a winner season, do people automatically target Sanders?
Well, you're asking me. What do I know?
I mean, I don't know.
You would know better than me.
You know, if I was out there, would I target Sandra Redwell? Like, well, first
tell
of all,
me the truth.
Yeah,
so when you and the other winners, like, you know, you get around, you smoke cigars and talk about it.
We laugh.
Yeah.
We laugh a lot in our lives and how good it is.
Does this come up?
A winner season?
Yes. Not even get into the details like, okay, we're going to vote off Sandra. But
well, first of all, that never comes up, who we'd vote off.
Yes.
That comes from other people. Like, who would you vote off? I'm saying all this assuming that I would never go back and play again. And I say that, but who knows? Things change.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talk with my friends who have won. For example, Tyson. And it's like, I ask him, how would you play the game? Now we're friends. You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable playing the game and lying to you. You're my friend now.
Yeah.
It makes it much trickier, you know, because then they're still like, I played with you and
I think Tyson would feel comfortable lying to you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the thing.
Like, I think you'd feel bad about it, but I think Tyson would.
Yeah,
like,
and we had that conversation.
I'm playing a game, bro.
Like, you're my friend now, but he burned me so badly before.
Yeah, but you forgave him. You forgave his friend again.
Exactly. So you're like, it's just a weird thing. I actually, watching Survivor now, it's weird because I got it the bad way. I won the first time and got blindsided the second time. When I watch, sometimes it brings up that feeling of getting blindsided, and it's a shit feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It is the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And it makes me never want to play again.
Even in your original season, though, I feel like you struggled with that blindsiding stuff.
Yeah.
Because the first time that you guys were going to go to a tribal council,
Melinda.
So you guys had Melinda and Suri on your team, and you had like the young, cool LA people,
right?
And Bob Dog, who you needed for the challenges,
right?
And so you went and told, hey, Melinda and Suri, you guys are, it's one of you two. We're deciding right now, it's going
to
be one of you
guys.
Well,
to be fair, Shane said, it's one of you two. I don't care who goes, because whoever doesn't is going the next time.
Whoever doesn't go now is going next.
Whatever Ara said it insincere.
Yeah.
Here's the truth. You both suck.
Yeah. but you did that.
Yeah. Regretfully.
Yeah.
I learned a big lesson there.
Garrett-esque.
Yes. Learned a big lesson. Fortunately, I didn't pay a big price for it.
Now, what Garrett did was like, hey, nobody's allowed to talk.
Right.
Like, I think you would have said, like, talk all you want.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can do. It's one of you guys.
And it wasn't so much about me saying there's nothing you can do. It was more saying, like, if you're going home.
Yeah.
I didn't say it's between Siri and Melinda. I just said we have to choose somebody.
Yeah.
I'm voting Melinda.
But you brought it up in your final tribal council as one of the things that you were proud of. That you said.
Because here's why. It established for everybody else how I was going to play the game, which meant they could trust me.
Mm-hmm.
As stupid and as foolish as that move was, people's expectations for me in terms of my strategy were low, and their expectations for me in terms of being able to trust me were very high.
Yeah.
So I was really happy with that.
Yeah.
Was it intentional? Hell no, but it turned out to be a wonderful move on my part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Yeah. On Survivor, you think
but you grew to be comfortable. You blindside Shane.
Right.
You blindside Laura Moret.
Right. Yeah. No, I was very comfortable blindsiding.
It's the only...
It's when you get blindsided that the pain comes.
But it's the only humane way to do it.
It's the only way. It's the painless way.
Yes.
At least on the island.
Yes.
Except what our season... In Blood vs. Water, when you had Redemption Island,
yes,
the dead could talk.
Yes, the dead
and
could
that
talk.
Sucked a lot.
But it's really it's much cleaner to like. I think you always say like, well, I would want to know, but it's not
better
clean.
Not. Yeah, it's better. You got to take care of your game.
If this is like the mob movie, it's just like
quietly.
Yeah, it's just like
never tell someone they're going home. Ever.
So many bad things can happen. And it's not even like where you have these final tribal councils and it's like, you know what? You told me that I was going to go home that night and I appreciated that.
No one ever says that.
I will give you my vote. Nobody's ever happy to hear it.
No.
It's like, there's no good can come from it.
Now, I did tell Bob Dog he was going home.
You did.
But I was not voting for Bob Dog.
Yes.
I was just telling him, there's nothing we can do.
Yes, because you were trying to save Bob Dog.
Yes. And I was like, I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
And at that point, there was nothing that could be done.
Yeah. Because the edit made it look like you got blindsided on that.
No, I didn't. I knew how it was going to go down. I knew Shane was going to write my name down. I knew all that stuff. But I did tell Bob Dog, hey, it's you.
Henry D. Maria wants to know, would you be game for an all merge boot season?
Ooh.
This is the perfect time to have you.
Ooh. Bring me back for the all merch. Who would I be playing with?
Does
Julie make it?
No, she wasn't.
It's Josh.
Yeah, he's the Josh is going to play. Of course, last season you played against Sarah Lucina, also a new parent.
Big blindside for her.
Yeah, big blindside for her.
That was to hurt.
Famous merge boots in Survivor history. I play against Gretchen.
Ooh.
Play against Jeff Varner.
Okay.
Play against Clarence.
Play against Nick Stanton.
Play against Boston Rob.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of names. I don't think I'd play Survivor again, to be fair.
It's the Survivor all day, barely dateable.
Barely dateable.
Survivor barely dateable.
Just made it in. Just fit the bill.
Barely dateable.
I only came this far so I could date you. Now can you get me off the island?
Yeah, Roger Sexton. Sure. The barely dateable season.
Who else? What about Palau?
Survivor Palau and the merge. Well, there was no merge.
Oh, there was. It was just Stephanie.
Yes, it was just Stephanie. But they didn't call it a merge.
And
they called it.
Did the old guy leave then?
No, it was Kobe.
Kobe. Oh, that'd be a good guy to have back.
Yeah. But again, it's only that he would not be dateable because not the merge.
Not the merge. Sorry, doesn't count. Doesn't count.
Yeah, there's lots of good ones.
Yeah, I mean. Look, I feel like I've had my day in the sun, in the Survivor sun, and I've bronzed my
buff. On the barely dateable season.
That's true. But like, does that mean like I'm kind of in the middle dateable?
Yeah.
Do I average out my finishes?
No, I think that once you hit that check mark of you've made it to the merge, you are dateable.
It's period.
You're dateable. You can't get you can't have your dateable card taken away.
Right.
You're in the club.
Exactly.
You're in the club. Okay. It's like being a former president. You just still call you president.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like winning Survivor. I'll always be a Survivor winner.
Yeah.
No matter how bad I finish in my next season.
Okay. Let's see. We have so many, we're so far behind the pace. We're really,
let's pick it up. Let's
we have to pick up the pace. Sorry.
We only
that.
Have an hour and a half left. So.
Okay. All right. So, let's go to, Patrick Retger, who said, Josh put all of his eggs in the couples need to stick together basket. Now that he's out, do you think that this will alienate Reed from his own alliance of mostly couples? Can Rob's pick turn it around? So what do you think? Is Reed now, in the same way that Vetus was kind of screwed over in Survivor Blood versus Water, it will Reed follow Josh out the door?
I mean, look, if you're voting somebody out next and you're Jeremy, you take out the other couple.
Mm-hmm.
You disband all possible couples so that you have the power. So the next person to go has got to be Wes or Keith.
Wes or Keith.
In my opinion. That's my vote. And so I don't worry about Reed right now.
Really? So you'd let him go?
I'm only speaking from the perspective of Jeremy.
Okay.
Okay. So right now I'm in the majority alliance.
But Jeremy really wants to get those guys out.
Who, Reed?
Josh and Reed.
Yeah, but he's got Josh now.
Yeah.
He's got, but look, here's why. He's in the majority alliance. The only thing really threatening him right now is the possibility of the six partners that are still existing, which would be John, Jacqueline, Baylor, Missy, Keith, and Wes joining forces.
Mm-hmm.
So if he disassembles Keith and Wes, he'll then have the majority with singles versus pairs.
Do you think that there'll be a power struggle between Jeremy and Missy over should the next target be a remaining single or one of the remaining pairs, the other remaining pair that's not with them? Because it puts them in a precarious spot, Missy and Baylor, if them, her and John and Jacqueline are the only pair that's left in the game. A la Laura and Sierra, right. Like at some point it's like, well, you know, Tina right. and Katie, it's like, hey.
Well, look, I'm speaking from a very big bias, being a pair at the merge. Vetus and I, before the game started, said, hey, if there's two other pairs at the merge and we're still in the game, we get with them, period, and we play.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only move.
Yeah.
And it's the only logical move, and we could even guarantee each pair gets one of the final three. I mean, it's the safest, smartest play in the book. And we didn't do that because alliances were made and, you know,
yes.
friendships were born. So I speak with that bias, understanding how big pairs are feared out there. And they are. They're really, really overly valued by people who aren't in a pair. And so if Jeremy's smart, he would, and in the same way, the pairs are going to look to get with the other pairs. He'd disable one more pair and he'd be fine.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
This
what would you do?
Who would you take out next? If I was Jeremy, I feel like I would take out Reed and finish what I started.
Okay.
Because I feel like, you know, you didn't take care of, you know, you took out Josh and now you made an enemy out of Reed,
right.
Who's coming to get you. He's still coming to get you. You haven't really pissed off, you know, Wes and Keith yet.
Right.
And so if you take out one of those two guys, now you still got Reed and now you still got Keith. And now those, now there's two,
now they're all going to say, go,
you know,
get Jeremy.
Two angry people who lost their right. loved one coming right. for you. And Alec is still there. So I think you're making more of a mess without sort of like, I feel like it's a half measure to go after one of those other guys now.
Right. Okay.
I think that's what I would do. Matt Ligori wants to say, Otis, why is this season getting so much hate? And what do we need to see for the next few weeks to make these angry people happy? How can we make people happy if we're Survivor producers?
You know, my biggest complaint is that we're not seeing a ton of strategy talk.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my, or that not everyone's involved in the game.
Yes.
You know, I think we're seeing people make boneheaded moves, beginner moves. That's what happens on a beginner season. And yeah, it might be a little misplaced. It's still a good season. It's in comparison to other seasons, it's not good. In comparison to what else is on TV, it's good.
Okay.
I still enjoy watching.
Sure.
You know, and I think so do you, Rob, and so do our listeners. Your listeners.
I don't get bored. Yeah.
Not mine. They're yours.
They're ours.
They're ours. Collectively, yes. The royal hour.
Yes.
But yeah, I think if we people woke up a little bit, you know, I think this season is suffering from what Sierra suffered from up until she woke up. You know, so are they going to wake up? Are these contestants going to wake up and vote their mothers out?
Oh, my God. Let's take a question from Ron Chan, who wants to know, Otis, who would you call the Wambulance for this season?
Oh, Baylor.
Baylor.
Yeah, it sounds like it, right?
Mom, everybody's farting
exactly,
in here.
Exactly. I thought Keith was going to pull the Wambulance out, actually.
Can we have the new Rob as a Podcast app.
This ain't the Hilton, Missy.
This ain't the Hilton. We have the new Rob as a Podcast app, and we have a soundboard on the app. I feel like it would be a great addition to the app if we could get you to give us a Call the Wambulance app, or a Call the Wambulance drop.
Can we pull from the episode?
Well, I don't own the clips from the episode, so if you do it here,
okay.
There's
right.
no...
But I mean, I was like so involved.
Yeah.
Right, I'm gonna try to recreate it.
Okay, it doesn't have to. You can put a spin on it. Like if this is if somebody was gonna.
Because I was running full speed.
Yeah, well,
and I just heard Terry crying in the background.
Yeah, he's like, oh, hey, how come you still have to go back? He's taking a long time out there.
I think I said some of the effect like, call the ambulance. Terry's crying on the course.
I think that let's lose the Terry part because I feel like people in their everyday lives will want to call a ambulance on
okay,
somebody.
Okay, so just use that first bit.
Yeah,
well, call the ambulance. No,
give it to us clean.
Call the ambulance.
Okay, good.
I'm going to hate that. I'm going to regret that the rest of my life.
When people come up to you and hit the call the ambulance button.
The number of people that mention ambulance to me, it's shaming.
It was the episode title. It was the
I know,
episode title.
I know. I
think
was
that's
so
really.
I was proud at the time. Now I'm embarrassed. Really I was such it, a dick to Terry.
Really gave it some legs. Okay, let's take one or two. I have so many voicemails to get into with you.
Rob, I did 19 pull-ups yesterday.
You did?
Not all at once.
Yes.
But okay. I did 19 pull-ups.
See, you were saying at the time, oh, what did I do, 6, 7, and you were like, oh, that's so good.
That was very good.
You could beat me.
I was doing sets of 5.
Yes. I said recently to myself that, you know what, thinking back to that, I bet Otis was pulling an Austin Cardi and trying to
downplay?
Appear weak. Yes.
Right.
Downplay.
Slimy like these snails.
Yes. Getting ready for a Survivor blood versus water stint.
Yeah.
The downplay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very, that's a good number.
Well played.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Let's go ahead and let's see. How about, okay. We've talked so much about Panama. So let's not go back to another Panama question. Let's go to Xavier wants to say, how much was Jeremy's winning immunity a factor in Jacqueline's flip? Do you think that mattered?
Yeah, it probably did.
Yes. Why? Because I want to be on the side that has immunity.
Well, I want to be on the side that has immunity.
Yeah.
If we take out anybody but Jeremy from this side, we're going to have to deal with the wrath of Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do that. I don't know how much it influenced it, but I definitely think that it had an influence. It took away the option.
Yeah.
You know?
That does make sense. That does make sense. Also, I'm trying to find the person who asked the question, but let me ask it and then I'll give credit to the person. What do you think of this challenge, that this was a challenge that Vetus bested you in?
Yeah.
In Blood versus Water, the memory challenge.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. I was just surprised at how poorly everybody performed.
Yeah. Does it bring back a flashback for you when it's a challenge?
It did. It did a little bit. It made me think, God, if I would have just fucking remembered a few more symbols.
Yeah. Well,
because I do think I would have scrambled better than Vetus did. I do think that.
Yeah. So you think that if Vetus went home, you think you would have had a better chance
to
hang
in
there?
Yeah. I mean, Tyson and I have talked about this. He doesn't think they would have voted off Vetus if I would have won immunity, because they wouldn't have wanted me to catch on.
Mm hmm.
Just because I still had relationships with people that I could have leveraged if I found out that I was on the chopping block.
Yeah, I apologize to the person that asked that question on the comments because I can't find it. But
we'll
it was
just,
a good question.
We'll just call that person Jane Doe.
Jane,
great question.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump into talking about some of our Survivor voicemails that come in every single week. robhaswebsite.com/voicemail. Also, 323-282-RHAP. Of course, is the number to get in your voicemails. And let's start this off by a very good friend of the podcast, somebody who I am a big fan of his work. Let's go to my friend Matt Cerrone, who has a question about the blood versus water format. Here we go.
Hey, Rob, it's your buddy Matt Cerrone from Mets Blog. Got to get this off my chest. I want to get your guys' take. Do you think this season of Blood versus Water has really killed the concept, at least as it pertains to bringing in all new players? I mean, the first one, you had a bunch of returning players, so they were veterans, they knew the game. Their loved ones, maybe, maybe not. This time around, all new players, you know, some of which may or may not be there just because they're the loved one. And it seems to really water down the competition level. I mean, this has got to be one of the most average group of players, below average players I can remember in a long time. So wondering what you think. If they do it again, will it be with loved ones? Will they ever do this again where it's all new players? Take it easy, man. Keep up the good work.
All right. So, Otis, did Survivor 29 break Blood versus Water as a format?
I think it did. I think that's it.
Well, you know, I said at the beginning of the season, I felt like we went back to the well too fast.
Went back to the well too fast. I also think that...
we killed the golden goose.
Yeah. Look, why go back in two seasons?
Yeah.
You know, why not wait until you have exactly the people you want? They put a lot of pressure, I think, on casting to find pairs. And from what I understand, there was a couple that ended up getting right up to the end of to the start of the season and then getting medevaced before they started filming.
Mm-hmm,
and apparently that couple was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So I do think that a first Blood vs. Water season was kind of a magical season for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And none of which you can like write down and say this is why. But I think they went to the well too fast and I just don't think they're going to do it again. I don't want to see it again. Do you?
I mean, if it was going to be with the previous contestants, I think I'd be definitely more interested in it. But I mean, to go back to Blood versus Water again, it's
would you do it with Nicole?
No,
never.
No, I wouldn't do it.
I would advise anybody not to play Blood versus Water with anyone they love.
Like for one, like I don't even know if I want to go play Survivor by myself.
Right.
But I definitely
don't
do not want to go and do Survivor Blood versus Water with Nicole.
Yeah.
I know.
I have no interest in going back and playing Survivor again, period. But even less interest in doing it with a loved one.
Yeah. And if they said, like, hey, Rob, we want you and Nicole, it's this or that's it. We're going to lose your number. We'll never call you again. I'd say, thank you. It's been real. But
yeah,
lose
the number. Now, what if they gave you a guarantee? What if they're like, here's $200,000. Go play.
I mean,
we'll give you the best babysitter money can buy.
I mean, I think Nicole would have a bigger issue with it at that point. You know, when it's, we're talking about like a lot, we're talking about twice what the person who comes in second makes,
right,
to go do it. I mean, that's a lot of loot. You know, that's a lot of money.
And also at this point,
for
now,
6 weeks
now
of work.
You have a child. It's a much different. It makes you put into perspective all the people who have played with children.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't really relate to Shane Powers when he was crying because he missed his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, we talked about it on the last podcast that Ariel asked that question about where you were fighting with Terry about, you know, that Terry said that, you know, getting to see your mom wasn't the same for him as going to see his wife.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah, that's different. I mean, that's a visitor and that's just having something from home to me.
That doesn't kind of.
I still agree with what I said, but I just think leaving, making the choice to leave your family when you have one is a bigger jump.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very, very a tough spot.
I would like to know this. Maybe Kirk Clark can figure this out.
Yes.
Who has gone on Survivor with the youngest child at home? Would that be Boston Rob?
I mean, people have done it with their wives being pregnant.
But have they done it with a child to be due? Like in the while they were away?
That the baby was going to... Well, Jervis in the very first Survivor had your boy Jervis that in the very first Survivor that he like... That they got like tree mail. And it's like, congratulations, Jervis. You just had another baby.
No way.
Yes. And he had like cigars. And then... Yeah. And then they had a challenge and then he got to win like a phone call at home. And they're like, hey, Jervis, your baby is good.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I didn't even know. I got to call Jervis and talk to him about that after we're done with this.
Yes. He found out from tree mail.
Jeez, that's amazing. That's amazing. Wow,
yeah,
Jerv.
That happened.
Wow. I mean, but he'd
wasn't
had
the
kids.
First one.
Yeah,
wasn't the first one.
To be fair, he's had many kids.
Wasn't the first one. So,
Dad, where were you when I was born?
Yeah.
I was,
No, and plenty of people have left, like, a pregnant, you know, a person at home.
Yeah. That's a little different, but...
It's different, yeah, but definitely, you know.
The fact that Jervis went out there knowing he was expecting a child is amazing to me.
Hey, that's
hashtag good parenting.
Vintage Jerv. I was on Instagram yesterday. Do you follow the Jervis on Instagram? Jervis had the Kim Kardashian picture on his Instagram. What was the caption? He was like, it was just like, damn. Or
yeah, just he was just impressed.
Yeah.
If you don't follow Jervis on Instagram, you should.
Does Jervis subscribe to Paper Magazine?
I don't know. He might now, though. If you follow Jervis on Instagram, you'll get a lot of funny quotes about women. A lot of pictures of Eagles fans and or Eagles players and the occasional woman crush Wednesday.
Yeah. So
no, it's, accident that came out on a Wednesday.
No accident. Yeah, interestingly, the Kim Kardashian photo, again, it was causing circles all over the place, breaking the internet. I saw Jervis had the rear angle on Instagram. Then on
the champagne angle.
Yes. Then on Facebook, I saw somebody else had the front angle.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. Update. I have yet to see the front angle.
Yeah. Do you have a guess?
Is it a Survivor?
Yes. Yes. That's what.
Johnny Fairplay.
No.
Can I get a season?
Fiji.
Earl?
Nope.
Dreams.
No.
Yao Man.
No. You're not thinking that the answer is obvious.
Okay. What am I missing here? Who am I missing here?
I might need a musical cue to jog your memory.
Is it Tidy Whitey, Little Boy?
Yes, Lisey.
Yes, yes.
I'm not going to get the music out for now.
You should just get it out.
I should have it out. But that's the problem with you being here for the whole show. I'm trying to do this all on the fly.
Right, right. I hear you.
Usually I have time to reset and prep before the voicemails.
Wow. So she posted the full frontal. I've yet to see that.
Yeah. Well, you're not missing much.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, so the Survivor world has naked Kim Kardashian covered.
Now, if Survivor got Kim Kardashian to play, would you watch?
I mean, what am I going to not watch? I'm going to boycott? I'm podcasting a season that John Rocker is on.
Well, your wife also posted a Kim Kardashian comment.
Well, she's ridiculous about that. She posted like on Facebook, like, oh, I just threw up in my mouth. I'm like, this is what they want you to do. You're falling into the trap.
Yeah,
the whole reason Kim Kardashian exists is so you say things like this.
Exactly.
Like, you're doing exactly what she wants. If it wasn't for you, Kim Kardashian wouldn't exist.
Yes, exactly.
You're part of the problem.
Nicole's the problem.
Yes. Yes. No, it's not Jervis. Jervis isn't the problem.
Jervis is not the problem.
It's the Nicole's out there like, oh my, this is gross.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Gosh.
She's all like, where Nicole was worked up about this yesterday. We almost needed an emergency podcast.
There was a pretty funny on Instagram. I saw somebody repost a video that a girlfriend made her boyfriend post to Instagram. It was a selfie video he took after posting a WCW of another woman, and she made him. She's in the video behind him saying, "I apologize for posting that WCW. Linda, or whatever her name, the girlfriend's name was, is definitely my only WCW." And then she's like, "Say it." He's like, "I'm not saying it." She's like, "Well, then you're not getting any." He goes, "I'm a dickhead. I'm a total dickhead."
Yeah. All right, you brought up Kurt Clark, so I got a question for you from the one and only Kurt Clark.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. Take it away, Tabulator.
Hey, Rob, this is Kurt from Chicago, the Tabulator. I'm just wondering, regarding last night's episode and Baylor being pressured into getting firewood, was that kind of a Stick Keith situation for her? Just really wondering what you think about that. Take care. Bye.
Was the situation with Keith a Stick Keith situation?
Ooh. just let the music keep rolling here.
Now, Otis, have you seen this?
Never.
Okay.
Is this Baylor?
This is Baylor Wilson's official music video of a Sticky Situation,
which has more views than any Otis video.
Well, we've been talking about that. There may be an RHAP bump.
Okay.
I don't know quite how many views there were before we started talking about this on the 16, podcast.
16,000 now.
16,000 now.
Can we play from the start, please? We can edit this out.
Okay, we could do this. Okay, so this is courtesy.
I want commentary if we can, please.
Let me get commentary from you because you haven't seen it as a musician.
Okay, as a musician.
As a musician,
not as a Survivor. I will give my opinion as we play it. All right, let's do it.
The song is better than the video.
Okay.
Okay. Here's Baylor. Okay. All right. So she gets out. She's actually in the front seat.
Wait a second. So she's in a Hummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're getting like a picnic ready.
Okay.
It could be a taco bar. Be that girl potentially. In your passenger seat, but she's already buckled in. She wants to be the girl in the passenger seat. Holding your hand, she's looking at me. Says, "Who's your friend?" I feel like this, you could jam to this. Does she know
that you've been whipped cream?
Yeah.
A lot of it.
The video's very literal about the sticky situation.
Right.
It's not a metaphorical sticky situation. Why you gotta wash your car with your shirt off? Park right next to me. Ask me how my day was, smiling sweetly. Feels like I stepped into
Are they throwing sausages at each other now?
Yeah. Watch for the guy with the chicken in his mouth. He's got Dairy Queen melting everywhere. Somebody has shaving cream.
Wow. This just became a sticky situation.
Yeah, watch for the guy with the chicken. Here comes this guy.
This might be the best video I ever made.
Yes. Now you've directed music videos.
I have, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so what's your take on the sticky situation?
Now, generally speaking, as a rule of thumb, the music video is an opportunity to reinterpret a song or a situation.
Yeah.
So in this case, it seems like they've missed that opportunity. Because it seems to be the same interpretation, a literal interpretation.
So it's different. In the song, it's a metaphorical.
Right.
This, in the video, it's a literal
right.
one.
Right, yes. Exactly. I mean, I will say this. At least the girl that's in the car with him is buckled up. So she's driving safely.
Yes.
I think that's the important part.
Yes.
Is that they're being responsible.
That is important.
Yeah, it's not a bad song from Baylor. I'm actually
the song isn't... The video is crazy.
The video is terrible.
The song is... it's a cute song.
Yeah, it's a cute song. It's agreeable.
Yes, yes.
I think that's the best word to describe it.
And by the way, the Baylor LP dropped on iTunes this week.
Oh.
Did you know this?
Oh, how's it performing?
Oh, I can't tell you.
Probably
I can only
better
tell you
than an Otis LP. The
podcasts are doing, but it's the Baylor Wilson, I believe it's the self-titled EP. And you could check that out on iTunes. $4.95.
Daddy's Girl. Let's take a sample of Daddy's.
You want to hear
it?
Okay, this is from Baylor Wilson. Why do I still wait for a man that I don't know?
A stranger, familiar. Yeah, agreeable.
Yeah. Lots of ratings and reviews as well. 10 ratings and reviews.
Well, can we go to Otis and see? I think I have 2 ratings and I've been out for 3 years. This is just... I'm happy for Baylor, by the way. I think this is great. I really am a fan of anybody who is trying.
Would you do a duet with Baylor Wilson?
No. But that's not because Baylor's not a talented artist. We have a different style.
Yes. Okay. So you want me to look up?
Yeah, let's find Otis.
Otis with a space?
Yeah.
Okay. On iTunes. Okay. Okay. So here we go. 792. Now, how'd you come up with that?
I don't know. They did that for me. But let's see. Are there any ratings? Has anyone rated
so
the
looking,
album?
I'm looking at the tree and the river. 16 ratings and reviews.
Oh. Okay.
Or 16. And
is one of them from me? Because I think I might be one of the reviews. And I'm not joking.
Yeah. Somebody wrote Totes the Best.
Hey, look, there it is. The first one by RSB.
Yeah. But I'm a bit biased. I'll say that was helpful, though.
5 stars, but I'm a bit biased.
So there you go. Yeah. So, yeah. So there's the Baylor Wilson song.
Yeah. No,
Stick Keith situation.
I think you're right, Kurt. I think Kurt is correct. That was a Stick Keith situation.
Yes. Yes.
Now, how did you stumble upon this video?
People tell me about this stuff. Anything that a survivor is doing in the world, if it's odd enough.
Well, have you seen Vetus's video?
No.
Okay, go to Vimeo. Vetus has a new video.
Vetus
out.
Has a
yoga video. It's kind of interesting.
Okay,
it becomes like a Cialis commercial at the end.
Oh no.
But it's pretty well shot. I mean,
okay,
yeah.
So Vetus has a yoga video.
Yes, type in Vetus. Let's see if
okay,
we can
so
find
let's
it.
See if both you and your brother have good names for SEO.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
okay. So, I think that's it there on the rings.
Okay, so he's Lord of the Rings. So it's Vetus Udaya Spotlight.
Yeah, it's a long video, so you won't be able to play the whole thing. But
if we can get the first couple of seconds here,
yeah, you give the first 20
it's four,
seconds.
It's four minutes. Okay, here's Vetus. Vetus's yoga video.
When I was 19 years old. I spent a year of my life in LA County Jail. I remember the urge, like that desire to kind of get out of my own skin. Like I felt uncomfortable, that intense self-awareness, that painful self-awareness had kind of slipped away. And then I remember somebody brought heroin around. And that drug, I just remember the first time I did it so clearly.
It was a sticky situation.
It's the soundtrack to the music's life.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so if you want to find the Vetus video, it's go to Vimeo.
The Vetus video is heavy.
It is. It's pretty heavy. It gets lighter, but it is pretty heavy. Rob is almost tearing up for those of you who want me to describe play by play what's happening in this room right now.
Oh my God.
So yeah, if you want to watch that Vetus video, Go to Vimeo and just type in Vetus. It's one of the first videos that comes up.
Okay. Let's take a question here from Umberto. Who wants to ask more about that stick Keith situation from last night.
Hey, Robin Aras. This is Umberto from Miami. Quick question. So, do you think Baylor is a new junior deputy firewood bitch? Will this make Keith the new butch? All right. Love you, babe.
All right, love you, Bay.
Love you, Bay.
Yes.
Get in the back seat. Let me drive.
Yes.
Let me drive.
Get in the back seat. Love you, Bay. So back in Survivor of the Amazon, there was a man named Butch.
Correct, I recall.
And he recruited me to help him. We got to get some of that wood. We got to get firewood.
Right.
And I said, when did I become the junior deputy firewood bitch? Is Baylor the new junior deputy firewood bitch? I will say that's no. That's going to take on a different connotation.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it seems like from everyone's account, not just Keith's, it seems like everybody is saying, hey, Baylor, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's a general consensus that she's not doing much around camp.
Yes. But that being said, let's not call Baylor a firewood bitch.
Let's not
call Baylor any kind of bitch.
Yeah, let's not use the B word around a woman.
It's a different connotation. Yeah, it's less funny.
It's against with a man, somehow it's funny. It's but not with a woman. It's not in this day and age. Maybe 12 years ago when Rob was on Survivor.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take another question here. Let's go to John, who has a question for us. We have so many questions today. I was listening to questions all morning long from you guys. Lots of good ones. Here's a question from John.
Hi, Robin Aras. This is John from Massachusetts. Watching this past episode of Survivor made me realize the importance of the people that you align with in the game. I feel like for the most part, it wasn't really Josh's fault that he got sent home, but rather it was the fault of Alec, Wes, and Keith. My question is, do you think there was really anything that Josh could have done better to maybe hold on to John and Jacqueline's votes, or was he simply doomed due to the people that he aligned with? Furthermore, how important do you guys think it is to choose the correct people to align with from the start so that they don't end up screwing you over later on in the game? Also, I was watching Survivor China recently, and I noticed that Jean Robert, much like John Rocker, actually refers to Tribal Council as the Council on multiple occasions, which I thought was quite funny and interesting. Thanks a lot. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and keep up the good work.
Okay, so let's answer this question. Could Josh have done anything differently?
What do you think, Rob? You just interviewed him.
I don't get the sense that he could. The one thing I think he could have done, which he should have done probably, was to throw that last challenge before the merge. And I asked him about that, you know, should he have done it? And he said that they talked about it, but they couldn't. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to be a challenge thrower. But I think that that would have been the right idea to throw the challenge and try to get Jeremy out while you could. I think that's the one time when you should throw a challenge is when you have the numbers on your side and you have somebody over from a swap who's a big threat that you could take out and you could hurt the other side by going to Tribal Council. I think it's been done a number of times before, and I think for the most part, that's a good move. That's a solid play.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But I do think that there's things he could have done post-merge. And I think what he could have done and what he didn't do and what's probably going to damn John and Jacqueline is that he could have told them, made them feel like, hey, if you come with us, you're with us. You're with me and Reed, four of us to the end. That guarantees we both at least have one person in the final three.
Mm-hmm.
And just made that commitment so that John and Jacqueline felt like if they went with Josh and Reed, that they get all the way to the end. And it's clear that they don't feel like they get all the way to the end with Josh and Reed.
Mm-hmm.
It's also clear they don't feel like they get all the way to the end with the Jeremy situation either. Well, maybe they do feel like they get to the end, but they get there with Jeremy.
Yeah.
So they feel comfortable with Jeremy, but they don't feel comfortable with Josh and Reed getting to
Jacqueline
the end.
Jacqueline said, it just feels so good with Missy and Jeremy.
Right. Exactly. So I think Josh could have done a better job bringing John and Jacqueline in and letting them know, not only do I want you in my six or my seven, which it would have been, I think, I want you in my four.
I want you in my four. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a question
I want
here.
You in my four.
In my four.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take this next question. This comes to us. Let's go up to Canada. Our good friends in Canada. And let's take this question from Paul.
Hey, Rob and Aris. This is Paul from Canada. And my question is for both of you.
We have seen since Russell Hans has played, they have mentioned him every season since then. They haven't mentioned it this season, and I don't see them mentioning it. Is this the end of the Russell era? Thanks so much. Have a good day. Bye.
Is this the end of the Russell era? I mean, let's we've had Russell in all these different seasons. We've had Russell's nephew in seasons. We talked about this. He's the gay Russell Hans. He's like Russell Hans. He's the woman Russell Hans.
Yeah.
All sorts of different Russell Hanses.
Russell's influence has made waves.
Yes.
Episodes, seasons.
But there's been no mention of Russell Hans this season. Could Survivor 29 be the end of the road for Russell Hans mentions on Survivor?
No, there's no way.
There's no way. How will they do it?
It might not get mentioned this season, but he'll get mentioned again.
He'll get.
He's too big. He's a pillar of the Survivor experience.
Okay, so even if they don't mention it this season, it's still
he's
still not
be
over.
Tossed around. Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody? Look, mentioning Russell to a partner, to an alliance mate, is a tool to bring up fear.
It's toxic word.
Yeah, if you use Russell to if you compare somebody to Russell to somebody in your alliance, you're gonna generate a lot of fear around that person.
Okay,
would you agree with that, Rob?
I think that's a very calculated word to say about somebody. Like, oh, he's like the Russell. Like, oh, we got to get rid of him.
Exactly,
he's like the Russell. Okay, let's take a question from Dan. We have a couple questions from Dan's today. Here's a question from Dan, and wants to talk about an idea for a new Survivor based show.
Okay, let's hear it.
Hey, Rob, Dan from New York. I want to pitch my idea for the next Survivor sitcom. All I have so far is the theme song. Let me know what you think. It takes a lot to cook some rice, especially when Dale and Muffin fight. A scoop of beans to add some fun. Sounds like a sticky situation. Too many cooks, 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 too many cooks. Well, there you have it. Thanks.
Okay. Amazing. That was amazing.
What do you think of this?
Is it an addendum to the Too Many Cooks video? Can we add on? Is that what we're doing?
I guess you have all the survivors in the credits.
That'd be pretty funny. That should be done. Somebody should do that. There is a listener out there who is capable of doing it.
Now,
and they should do it.
This might also be a play on something that came up a couple of weeks ago on Survivor.
Reed, what does that say about this tribe?
There were too many cooks in the kitchen, and they all wanted
too many cooks.
Too many patrons in the kitchen.
Too many patrons, baby. There's never too many patrons on Rob as a podcast. That's one thing.
You can't get enough.
You can't get enough patrons. Are there too many cooks in the Survivor kitchen?
It sounds like it, but we need to see that. If someone can create that visual for you, Rob, and somebody can. They need to do it.
Do you like that video?
I do. I'd watch that. I'd give that 16,000 views myself.
You'd have more views than a sticky situation?
Yeah, more.
Okay. Let's take a question from another Dan. This one comes to us from Dan Lembo.
Hey, Rob. It's Dan Lembo. I'm wondering who's the Dan Lembo of this season. Who gets to the final four? And then people wonder who that guy is. My thought is, oh, wait, is this mandatory? I got to go send some twits. Thanks.
Okay. So Dan Lembo making an appearance, a surprise appearance on the podcast. Who's going to make it to the final four? And we're going to say, who is that person?
God, all of them?
It's got to be somebody.
It's not going to be – Baylor's going to make it to the Final Four, but we know who Baylor is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Wes and Alec.
Wes or Alec?
But I don't think they're going to make it. But I think those people – maybe Natalie. But Natalie's memorable. She's a 20.
And she's on Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't think there's going to be anyone at the Final Four that we're not going to
– Is there anybody in the season, though, that is like the person that we're like, who is this person and how are they on the show?
I feel that way about Wes and Alec.
Wes and Alec. Bit. Yeah.
Particularly Alec, now that Drew's out.
I mean, Wes was probably, of the people that are in the show, he almost has like the least airtime before Taco Overload.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's his one claim to fame so far.
Yeah. overeater situation. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you have a blood versus water, you don't really have people you don't know of because you get their partner as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, I came in here today forgetting Wes and Alex's name. So.
Yes. Yeah, so that would be...
And I watched the episode this morning.
Yeah.
You know.
It's very fresh.
Yeah, it's fresh.
It's fresh. All right, so who has the best chance to make it to the final four? That's going to... So you think it's going to be...
I'm going to say Baylor.
Yeah.
Natalie.
But Baylor isn't somebody that we're like, who is she?
No, but that's... Oh,
so you're telling me the final four.
This is I'm telling you final okay. four. I think it's going to be Baylor, Natalie...
If you had to bet $20, who's the final four?
Yeah. This is my $20 bet right here. Baylor, Natalie...
Baylor, Natalie.
Jacqueline. Jeremy.
So John got picked off.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And Missy gets picked off.
Then let me ask you a question about John.
So do you still think Reed's going to win?
No.
Who do you think is going to win? Who's your $20 bet to win it?
I'd say Jeremy.
Okay.
If I had to, you know, if I had to bet $20 on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to bet 20.
All right, so let's take this question from Mark. Here we go. He wants to know about John.
Hey, Roman Aris, Mark from New Zealand here. My question is, do you think that Jeremy and Muffin will start to recognize the potential danger that is John and aim to get him out at either the final 9 or 7? With a potential easy ride to the final 6 at Curran and Idol, the chance of an immunity run, and a stack of bro votes that would accumulate on the jury, it could be an easy win against Baylor, Natalie, or Muffin. Is John, despite his clear lack of strategic understanding, in the best place to win at this stage? Or do you think his alliance will recognize the threat early enough and send him home with an idol in his pocket? Love to hear your thoughts. And congrats on the 1K. Love the podcasts. Cheers.
Okay. I love this guy.
Yeah.
This guy should be talking more.
You like the accent.
Gentle, nice yes. accent, kind, yes. considerate.
Yes.
He doesn't say 1,000. He's into brevity. 1K.
1K. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, John's in a good position too. John
yeah.
and Jeremy are in good positions, both of them. Jacqueline's in the best position of the three.
Whoa.
Because she's not the target. She has access to the idol and no one's targeting her.
Is Jacqueline a potential winner of
I
this
think
season?
So.
Oh
I think so.
My God.
Uh huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
From Miss Michigan to Miss Survivor.
Boom. She's also a potential Miss Survivor winner.
She does have the pageant experience.
Yeah. I mean, who would she be going up against?
Baylor.
Who else? Who from last season? Kelly
from
this
Kelly,
season.
Kelly from this season. Right. Morgan.
Missy.
Jeffra.
Yeah. Jeffra's a big one. Alexis. But Alexis didn't make the merge.
She didn't make the merge. She's not dateable, but we've had...
Now, do you have to make the merge to be a Miss Survivor?
No, just to be dateable. We've talked about this ad nauseum. If it really is only if you're a guy, you have to make the merge to be dateable.
Okay.
That if you're a woman and you're attractive, you're dateable no matter what. You could be the first
totally
person.
Agreed.
You
but
could
what
be
about-
you could be Wanda, and if Wanda was like a
great social networker.
Yes. Yes. If Wanda, who didn't even make it on the show, she's dateable no matter
Isn't
what.
Isn't it amazing that from that season Wanda's one of the most memorable though? Name the Palau contestants and Wanda's like one of the first you name.
Sure. Yeah, she'd be like
top 5.
Top, I don't know about top 5 baby, but
you got Ian, Tom, Wanda.
I'd say Stephanie would be
Stephanie
Bobby John. Tom. I would say if I'm just rattling them off, I'd say maybe Kobe, Ian. And
right.
then I'd probably start to get down to, you know, Wanda around like 7, 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still pretty good considering she wasn't ever considered.
Because you would
contestant.
Never say the other guy.
Yeah. John, what was his name?
Jonathan. Jonathan
now,
Libby.
Were they invited to the 20th anniversary?
Yeah, I think they probably were invited. I don't remember running into them.
Yeah. Does Jonathan Libby have anything to do with Survivor anymore?
I don't know.
Do you think that when
here, this is what I like to do. This is how I answer that question. I look them up on Facebook.
Okay, let's do
it.
And
I see how many mutual friends they have. Jonathan Libby.
Oh, it's Libby, not Lippy. I was hoping it was Lippy.
I don't know if this is the same guy.
Let's see. Is he wearing a tank top? It probably is. That's him. That's definitely him.
I have one mutual friend, but sometimes people make up fake accounts for these people. I have one mutual friend.
Who is that? Phil Rainier?
I don't know who that is.
All right, let's see a little bit more about him. Is that a real account?
I don't know.
It looks like a Survivor pick.
Yeah, I don't think it's real.
Okay, so what about the other Jonathan Libby?
Was there multiple? Am I spelling it right? Is there only one way to spell it?
Yeah, I think you're spelling it right.
Okay. I get a Jonathan Penner. Let's see. This one?
Yeah, let's try that one.
Try that one? I don't know if that's... Yeah, you know, I think some of these people, like, that they didn't do any... That, like, it was Survivor was sort of like...
Such a just bad like, experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they kind of just shy away from it. They want nothing to do
were
with it.
Were they invited to the reunion show?
I'm sure they were invited. Yeah, they were definitely at the Palau reunion.
Okay, so they got the 10K.
Yeah, and they even got to sit on the stage.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't like
so they were Survivor contestants. They just never got voted out.
Yes, I mean, they called the season 20 contestants.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't
call
18 contestants.
Right.
But...
God,
that's
I remember watching Palau getting ready for Panama.
Yeah.
And seeing that and being completely horrified at the thought that could happen to me.
Yeah.
Like knowing how much excitement there is.
Well, they do like a pick'em challenge in your season and Bruce doesn't get picked.
Right.
And it's like, all right, bye-bye Bruce.
Right.
He just goes to Exile Island. Yeah, they don't kick him off.
You're safe for 3 more days, essentially.
Yeah. I feel like Wanda was watching that at home, probably pissed off. I think so.
I don't. She's probably singing it, happy, to be fair, to Wanda.
Yeah. Okay. Here, I have a question that's just for you. This one is from Yolita.
Hey, Rob. It's Yolita from Lithuania calling once again. I have just heard that Aras is going to be our guest on the podcast. I always love to hear from Aras, especially because he's a really special Survivor player to
special.
Me. As you may or may not know, Aras has Lithuanian roots, and when he won Survivor back in 2006, I believe, everybody was talking about him, and I decided to watch the season where he played, and since then, I became a huge fan of Survivor, and that's all thanks to Aras, and I would really appreciate it if he can hear the voicemail and know how thankful I am. And also, I have a question for Aras as the musician. Which Survivor song does he prefer? Is it classical Tidy Whitey's or Freak by Bryce or Queen of Sticky Situations Bear? I would love to hear your answer. Thanks and goodbye.
That was a great message.
That was a great call. So first off, in 2006, all of Lithuania was talking about you being on Survivor.
Yes.
And so, and then I love that it goes down. I have a question for it. So ours is the whole reason why I watch Survivor. And I have a question. Which song does he prefer? Tidy Whitey's
I think the answer is obvious.
Situation? What is it?
Obviously Tidy Whitey's. Come on.
That's obvious. Is that I hear that's actually a big hit in Lithuania.
Huge. Haynes got a big bump in sales after that song hit the airwaves over there.
Oh my God. All right. So, I mean, is that true? Are you that? Are you like a celebrity in Lithuania?
I don't know about celebrity. I think that, you know, when I won, it was something that was newsworthy.
Like, how big of a show is American Survivor in Lithuania?
It wasn't that big of a show. They have their own.
Oh.
But then when I won, it became, oh, look, a Lithuanian American won.
So people started watching it then?
Well, then they aired it.
Yeah.
And then when Vitas and I were on...
So they aired the season only because... So the first 11 seasons of Survivor, they didn't have American Survivor.
Right.
And then they said, okay, we don't want to spoil anything, but you guys might like this one.
I think it was already spoiled. But then this season, this Vitas and I's Blood vs. Water season, they aired that one as well.
Yes.
Because there was two Lithuanians on it. Yeah. So we disappointed the whole country.
My God.
The weight of a country was on our shoulders.
Can Terry Dietz go travel to Lithuania?
No, he's not allowed to fly planes landing in there.
Wow.
Now, Terry is always welcome.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's play a question that is from that's from Megan. Wants to get your thoughts on the winner this season.
Hey, Rob, and hey, Aris / Otis. This is Megan Yost from Akron, Ohio. I just had a quick question for you. True or false? The winner of the season's name will start with a J. I'm starting to get kind of nervous. It seems like John Mish is getting a winner's edit. Do you agree with that? Love to hear your thoughts. Bye.
Okay, true or false?
True.
The winner of this season was named... Well, who do we have? Who's
Jeremy,
in the mix?
John, Jacqueline.
Jeremy, John, or Jacqueline. Not Josh.
Not Josh.
Not Josh anymore. He's out.
Those are the three people that I think have a shot to win it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
True. Wow. So start getting that final tribal council edit of everybody writing a J on the parchment.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think, Rob?
So what's the field? What's the people that I'm, Alec? No. Wes? No. Keith? No.
Natalie, potentially.
I think Natalie's potentially.
If Natalie goes to the final three with Baylor and Missy, I think Natalie wins.
Here's what Missy has to do. She's got to vote out her mom. She's got to.
Daughter, you mean?
I'm talking about Baylor.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So Baylor, she's got to get out of the back seat. She's got to vote out her mom.
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Yeah, no, she's got to drive.
No, you got to tell mom that she can't drive anymore.
Says, mom, get out of the back seat.
And that's going to be uncomfortable.
Yes. And you got to say, mom, you know what? I'm going. She's got to pull a Sierra.
She has to.
Can Baylor win the game without pulling a Sierra?
No. Can Baylor win the game with pulling a Sierra? No.
No.
Baylor is.
Love you, Bay.
No.
Baylor's drawing dead.
Drawing dead.
Yeah, she's drawing dead at this stage in the game right now. I'm saying it. She has a 0% chance of winning the game.
Zero percent chance.
Her and Spencer together.
Her and Spencer, 0% chance of winning the game.
Yeah, I don't think Baylor can win. I think Missy can win.
Okay.
I think if Missy's able to architect the vote out of John and architect the vote out of Jeremy, she can make a pretty big case for herself.
Okay.
You know, I think if Missy gets to the end with Baylor and Jacqueline, she has a chance.
All right. Missy, Baylor, Jacqueline, and Missy is the winner?
It depends on how that all happens.
Yeah. I feel like maybe Jacqueline's got it. I mean,
but if Missy, if you get to the end with your loved one at the final three, that's a pretty compelling argument, don't you think?
I think that's a very compelling argument.
Like, not only did I get to the end, I got my daughter to the end.
You got the daughter to the end, too.
Hop in the back seat. I drove her here.
She drove here.
You guys can all get in the back seat next time.
Okay, let's take another question. This one is from Avi.
Hey, Rob. This is Avi from California with a question about the end game. It's looking more likely this season than the last Blood versus Water that a pair can make it to the Final Four together. If this is the case, is it good strategy for the pair to want one of their two to be voted out at Final Four? It seems like having two people in the Final Three is a waste because you could get votes split between the two of you and you can't vote for each other. What if the Final Four is two pairs? Does that mean that everybody wants one member of their pair voted out? Seems like in that case, whoever wins immunity is kind of screwed. What happens if nobody wants to win immunity? What would happen? Thanks. Love the show. You're doing great. Congratulations on 1,000.
1,000.
1,000.
Yeah. All right. This is a fascinating question to me.
Right.
All right. So let's just pretend that the Final Four is now Missy and Baylor and John and Jacqueline. They've made it down to the Final Four. Okay?
Okay.
So what do you want to have happen? Do you want to be the one person not in a pair in the Final Three? Or do you want to have both people in the Final Three with one person who's a single? So this is this is what we're talking about. Right. This is a couple with a single.
Right. So it's all contingent on who's in the four.
Okay.
Okay. If there's a goat in the four and you're a couple, you go with the goat. And let's say there's a goat in there and then there's a hero in there.
But can you have a goat in the pair and then have a hero and a goat?
Let's say, for example, John and Jacqueline.
Okay.
Let's say they go with Missy and Baylor.
Okay.
Okay. If they can sit with Baylor, they sit with Baylor. If they can't sit with Baylor, they'd probably rather have John, Missy, and, well, if they have to, if Baylor's up there, look, ideally for them, it would be sitting with Baylor, right? Two of them with Baylor. Even if they split votes, they beat Baylor. What they don't want to do is the two of them with Missy. Because Missy's going to get more votes than Baylor, and she has more compelling argument. So if it's the case that Missy is guaranteed, Missy has the idol around her neck, then they send Jacqueline to the jury.
Okay.
And then Jacqueline will vote for John. And hopefully John will be able to curry enough votes. So it would be Baylor and Missy versus John.
So do you want your loved one voted out at four?
Depending on who else is there.
Yeah.
It's all contingent upon who else is there. If there's a goat, no.
Yeah, I had another question that's sort of about this, where is it advantageous? Are you trying not to win immunity at Final Four?
Let me give you another example. Like, okay. What if it's John and Jacqueline, Baylor and Jeremy in the Final Four?
Well, that's different.
And then you want to be you wouldn't want to vote yourself out. You'd want to make sure that you went with Baylor, not Jeremy. But let's say if it was like Baylor and Wes, for example, and let's just say Baylor and Wes were both goats, then of course you'd vote one of your own out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, I mean, it's all circumstantial.
Could there be a scenario where nobody wants to win immunity at the Final Four?
No, because it, even if you win immunity, you could give it to your loved one and then have the loved one vote for you. And then they would have to vote for you. So you'd get at least two votes and then you'd lose the situation.
So your loved one could vote you out at the Final Four.
Yeah. I mean, if you win immunity, at least you get to dictate.
That would be something.
Wouldn't it?
That would be something. Yeah. I'm not sure if I would like that.
If you asked for it.
Yeah. I saw that you can go and you can vote for me.
Exactly.
Like, for example, and I'll sit next to these two idiots. But here's what I think they would do. Here's what I think Survivor will do. They're like, well, it could be a final three or it could be a final two.
Yeah.
So I feel like they wouldn't tell you. Although, here's what you'd be able to tell. Like, is it day 38?
Right.
If it's day 38, they're not going down to a final two.
Right.
If it's day 38 and there's three people left.
And they couldn't in their right mind do a final two. Because what if you had both people in the final
two? No, if it's day 38 and there's four people left,
right,
then it's not going to be a final two.
Yeah, exactly. But even if it was day 37 and there were four people left, they can't really do a final two in Blood vs. Water.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not interesting. Like, if you had to vote between John and Jacqueline.
Well, people had to vote between Rob and Amber.
And was that interesting?
It was a very emotional tribal council.
Yeah, but it wasn't that interesting.
I mean, I think it was pretty interesting. People were, you know, it was big ratings.
Okay, but I think that was more because, yeah.
But John already proposed to Jacqueline in the middle of the season.
Yeah, you can't have a wedding now.
The guy is not a master strategist.
Obviously not. He looks a little bit like a Lego.
He looks like a Lego?
Like a Lego.
He's like a square, yeah. Square head.
Uh-huh.
Is everything awesome for John?
You know who has a big crush on John?
Who?
Christy.
Really?
Big crush.
Really?
Big crush. She said he looks like an amazing boyfriend.
What?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Why would she say that?
I don't know. Well, I'm not her boyfriend. I'm her fiance, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah. I don't like that.
No, it's just usually, he's so hot. He's got such a great smile.
Yeah. Who was the last?
I walked around smiling the rest of the day.
I feel like the last crush was also
on Malcolm.
Was it Malcolm? Was it Malcolm?
Yeah, she had a big Malcolm crush.
Yeah. And who was it before?
No, it was Malcolm. Malcolm was her.
A weird crush. I feel like going back to, we did a Best of Survivor One World. I think you said that Kat was used to, this is what you said.
I had Kat.
You said, yes.
She had Jay.
Yes.
But then Jay spoke.
Yes.
And she lost her crush.
You said when we did the show where you came to my house back on the other house,
yeah.
You said that you and Christy, every season you have one person that you get a free pass.
Right. And she chose Jay that season. I chose Kat.
Do you still do that?
Yeah.
Who is it? Who do you have a free pass?
Well, I don't know about a free pass. That might be a little a free fantasy pass.
A free fantasy pass for who?
I'm gonna go with Kelly.
Okay,
I'll go with Kelly because I feel like, you know, Jacqueline's taken, and I don't want to step on John's toes.
Yes, yes.
But that's who I thought was
Kelly.
Kelly and Christy likes John.
Okay,
but now that Kelly's out, I mean, Jacqueline would or Bay.
Yes. Yes,
Bay's always a possibility.
Yes, yes, of course. Everybody wants to say love you.
Love you, Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Now that I know she's a musician, I feel like maybe we can tour together.
Yeah.
Can you get her to sing Tidy Whities?
That, I don't know. I don't know. That might be inappropriate.
I still rue the fact that I got the entire tribe to name our tribe Tidy Whity, and the producers nixed it.
Yeah, what are they gonna do? What's the merch? Oh, they have stupid Hoyopa or whatever.
Hashtag Hoyopa.
Hashtag Hoyopa. If you and Baylor went on tour, she's the opening act.
No.
You're opening for Baylor Wilson.
Sticky Situation has to be the penultimate song, obviously. Sticky Situation. When did that get released?
I think in the last couple of months. Posted October 1st.
Wow. Now type in Otis and Home.
Yeah.
And see how many views that has. Probably not as many as Otis farting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that she's on Survivor when this video came out. So it's not like... It's not like that you had a Survivor season where you could go on and tell people about the video.
Oh, but I did.
Oh. Hey, you have 22,000.
Yeah. I bought most of those.
Okay. All right. 344 thumbs up.
I didn't buy 344
thumbs
Boom,
up.
You can't buy thumbs up.
No, I don't think you can.
No.
How
many dislikes, though?
Only four.
That's not bad.
Only four. Wow. One of them was Steven Fishback, though.
Yeah, obviously. One was Fishback But you know what? I don't think he did that to my music. It was only my style of play.
Yes.
And the using and the ways and the means to get more. You know, like,
There's
one in there that you can find. There's a clip in there that you should be able to find.
There's a good Vetus soundbite.
There's actually a great one in there. It's a little further down the road, and he's like quoting a girl.
Quoting a girl?
Yeah, who's telling him to go to yoga. Scroll four is just like maybe a minute.
It's not Miss Survivor, is it? Here's Vetus with his feet up on the desk.
I didn't find yoga until I was about maybe 6 months out of jail, and these girls I got into high school with were like, Vetus, you should totally come to yoga. I was like, no way am I going to yoga.
That's the quote. Vetus, you should totally come to yoga. Pull it back and get it.
Like, Vetus, you should totally come to yoga.
How good is that?
It's good. That's good. That's good.
Can we add that to the collection, please?
To the meat collection?
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm a meat collector.
Yeah. Vetus, not a meat collector. Vegan.
Vegan.
I'm a meat collector.
Yeah.
Vetus, you should totally come to
I'm
you.
A meat collector.
Oh my God! Where are we?
I don't know. Who was your favorite person to interview so far in the
from this season?
Yeah,
both the Wentworths were really fun.
Okay,
Dale
looked like a really fun guy.
Yeah, both of them were fun. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Twinnies. You never like they're very inappropriate, but they're very they're just all over the place. You know, and Josh was good to talk to.
Yeah, he seemed like pretty square, like level-headed.
Yeah, I think he was excited to talk about the game, but I feel like I'd probably say the Wentworths were pretty fun, and Drew was kind of a downer to talk to him because he was like bummed out.
That's so interesting because when he was on Survivor Live,
yeah,
he was great.
Yeah,
he was really making fun of himself and.
Yeah, I feel like he was a little like introspective when I talked to him.
He didn't. Yeah, it's tough. You know, when you go through the press day on Survivor, you just get drilled with questions about why you lost. It's never a fun day.
Yeah,
unless you win. Why do you think you lost?
Yeah, it's really? Some people have tougher times than you know when it's like a day where it's like you made like a dumb mistake and everybody's like, yeah, so why did you do that dumb thing? Like, it was like, you're dumb, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's tricky to do, especially like somebody like last week, like with Julie, it's like, all right, so we're here with the quitter. Julie, you're a big quitter, right? You quit, right?
How was that interview?
It wasn't bad.
Was she cool or was she defending her quit?
Yeah, I think the move is, you know, you want to be, you're more disappointed than angry with
right.
them, you know, and
right,
I think right. that you get them to open up a little
now,
bit.
Now, when you interviewed Julie, did she have any regret or did she say there was some things that you didn't see on the show why she quit?
Not really. I don't think so.
She's like, I just missed John.
Yeah. She said that, well, everybody else had their loved one and their loved ones were like bringing them like fresh crab in the morning. And I didn't have my loved one with me and I wanted to be with John. That's what the experience was. So,
okay.
She was bummed out
about
that.
Note to self, don't listen to that one.
Okay. Let's take this question from Joe. And this is actually a question that I've seen a lot.
Hey, Rob. Joe from Los Angeles. Why are so many people, including you and Steven, so high on the play of both Reed and Josh? Reed has been to two tribal councils and has been on the wrong side of the numbers in both. And Josh, although maybe ran his tribe of misfit toys in the beginning, wasn't able to hang on to his strongest ally, Baylor, when it counted. Baylor, even this episode, said that she didn't completely trust Josh because of the very first tribal council when Josh put her name down. Reed and Josh have been overhyped since the pregame interviews, and that has blinded people into thinking that they are both playing good games, but the evidence on the screen just doesn't support it. Whereas Jeremy has made strong bonds with both Missy and Natalie, and I really think that those are going to carry him far into the game, whereas Josh and Reed did not make strong bonds with anybody but each other. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I've definitely seen this in the comments on robiswebsite.com. Now, Steven has been much more the Josh and Reed guy. I made Reed my pick in the preseason. I wasn't high on Josh in the preseason, but I came to become a big fan of both of those guys. But I've seen this a lot from people of like, why are you guys saying that Josh and Reed are good? They're not good. Now, first off, I don't think I ever said Jeremy was bad. just because Josh and Jeremy were rivals, I wasn't like, hey, I'm team Josh, I'm not team Jeremy. I've said consistently that I wish that this could have gone on longer, Josh versus Jeremy. So I think Josh is good, but I also think Jeremy is good.
Right. Yeah. I would say the same thing. And I think just because someone gets voted out where Josh got voted out doesn't mean they're not a good player. You know, it's situational. It's, you know, look, Julie doesn't quit and Josh is still in the game and Jeremy isn't.
Yeah.
Most likely. You know, there's so many situations. That being said, we were also given an edit that was very pro Josh.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to naturally, he was kind of our narrator throughout the first half of the show.
Yes.
You know, he's level headed and he's got a level of awareness that's much higher than most of the contestants out there. You know, I think it's important when you're watching the show to not to need somebody to be a bad player just because somebody else is a good player.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I don't think that by any stretch of the imagination that, you know, Josh was bad. I thought he was good. He was playing hard, probably playing too hard. And that's kind of like what this game does. It takes people who are sane in real life and sort of makes them insane people. I think that Reed, there's less evidence that he was a good player. But, you know, why have I been high on them? Because I like when the fans are on the show.
Yeah.
People that are the fans, they go out there.
He was playing.
I'm always going to root, you know, 99 times out of 100, the people that are the fans, I'm going to root for them to do well.
I'm going to root for the fans and I'm going to root for the people that are making waves.
You know?
I thought John Rocker went home too early.
Okay.
Not necessarily because of his strategic play. In fact, he made so many blunders, but because he was so dang entertaining and I want to be entertained.
It's good TV. You like good TV.
I love to be entertained.
We love to be entertained and we like good TV.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another question.
The season is not richer because Josh is out, you know?
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Josh hanging around would be better TV.
Right. And I would have rather them taken out Reed.
Yes.
Strategically, it was the right move, but I'd rather them taking somebody else out.
All right, let's take this question. I think this is one that's going to hit a little close to home for you.
Hi, Robin Otis. This is Jeremiah calling from Texas. So at this point in time, Baylor has 15 votes cast against her. With that in mind, do you think she will be the first ever castaway have 20 votes cast against him in a single season? Just to note, the record for most votes cast against a single person in a single season is 19, currently held by Otis's fellow Blood vs. Water castaway, Laura Moret. Thank you for your time, guys, and take care.
Okay, so now correct me if I'm wrong. Now, you're the winner that has the most votes cast against you in a season,
correct?
I believe that was the answer in the original Survivor Jeopardy
that was.
And so how many votes did you have cast against you?
I don't even know. It's 13, 14.
Didn't seem like that many times.
Every tribal council, I got whatever was left from the other side.
The Lamina people.
Except for the first merge vote where Shane took it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then Baylor. Could Baylor get 20 votes in a season? Could she break the record, that which was, I believe, originally held by Jonathan Penner for most votes in a season?
What is Baylor at right now?
I don't know off the top of my head. I want to say she's at 15.
Okay, she's at 15. I don't think Baylor gets many more votes. At this point, Baylor's not going to be collecting votes.
Meat collector.
She's not.
So she's not a vote collector?
She's not a threat to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you waste your vote on someone
who's not
a threat?
But can't you see those people like Alec being like spiteful and being like, well, I'm going to vote for you anyway. Because I could
see someone like that doing that.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
you didn't carry any wood, and you didn't smell my farts today. So
yeah,
I'm gonna.
You didn't taste my burp. Now go take this fish guts and put them in the ocean.
Yeah.
Who's farting your burp?
I haven't done that yet. I wish I had burps and farts. Really? If I did, I would make sure she smelled them.
Come on, really. Hey, what are we?
Venus,
five?
You should come to yoga.
Venus, come to yoga. I don't know. Could she break the record? Because here, I believe it was Penner had the record originally.
Okay, and then Laura Moret took it, but that was a double vote.
No, then Philip Shepard took it in Redemption Island.
Okay.
And then Laura Moret snatched it.
With a double vote. Yeah.
I don't know if that should count.
It counts.
And then here comes.
It's got to count.
Yeah. Could Baylor be the person who takes all the votes?
God, 19 votes against her in that season?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
She got blindsided the first time, and how many people were in our tribe? 8?
Mm-hmm.
It was eight votes to one.
Yeah. Tough to do an 8-person blindside.
It is.
I have to commend you on that.
Thank you. So that means she got 7 the next time she got voted out?
I guess so.
No, she would have had to gotten...
One was from her daughter also.
Well, was there... Oh, you know what it was? Because they split the votes when I got voted out. we split the votes against for Laura.
Yeah.
Right. So then she took two votes
and she got
there.
The votes from you guys.
So that's 10. So she needed 9 when she ended up getting voted out.
Yeah.
When she got blindsided.
Okay.
All right.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
I'm sure it's possible.
All right. I got one more voicemail for you. This is while we have you here, let's just get all these Panama questions out of the way.
All right. Let's do it.
Hello, Rob and Aris. This is Ismael from Puerto Rico. This question is for Aris. In your first season, Panama Exile Island, could the hidden immunity idol that Terry had be assigned to another castaway during tribal council, or did he have to give it to someone beforehand? I always wonder why he didn't save Nick in that first tribal council post-merge and have Shane voted out. Keep up the good work, and thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, so the rule to that idol was that you had to give it to the person who was going to use it. They had to have it in their possession before you left for tribal.
Before you went to tribal.
And so what we did is we told Austin he was going home that night.
Yes.
And we just said, sorry, dude. It's you, man. You're too big of a threat.
Yes.
And Austin was sure he was going home.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he told everybody that he was pretending to be bad at the challenge and stuff like that.
Right.
It's interesting because then... you're allowed to now. It's like, okay, here's I'm giving this idol for this person. Because the time that I was wondering about was at the final four of why didn't Terry give Danielle the idol when you guys were going to the final four? And then, you and Suri put two votes on Danielle, and then all of a sudden those votes don't count.
Right. Right. Well, he was going to use them for himself. Because the threat was if he gave it to Danielle, then Danielle would have just told us, hey, Terry gave this to me. Let's vote Terry out.
Okay. Yeah, I guess
that's
so.
A pretty big
I
risk.
Guess so.
Remember, there was no loyalty with Danielle to him. Danielle had burned him a few times.
That's a fair point. I guess that he's got immunity either way. What the hell does he care?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because he knows if he gets to the end, he wins.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, I got to win one more challenge.
Yeah. Poor Terry.
I know.
Poor Terry.
He had it stacked against him. Yeah. He's a good guy. Terry's a really good guy.
Yeah. I met him at that party, at that 10-year anniversary party. And he was really, really nice.
Yeah. No, Terry, like, honestly, of all the regrets in my life is that I was such a dickhead to Terry. He's a really good dude. He's a good dude.
Yeah. He seems like a fun guy. All right. So let's get into talking about everything from the Survivor news and Survivor social media. I don't really have any inappropriate quotes from Jeff Probst last night. We played a lot of clips throughout the show tonight, but not too many, nothing really inappropriate from Jeff Probst.
From JP. No, he was pretty. Except the vegetarian thing.
The vegetarian thing. Yeah, this is probably just file this under just things you would never hear outside of Survivor. Here's this one.
Natalie, Reed, Keith, Jeremy, Wes, working hard for those tacos.
Oh, man.
Working hard for those tacos.
He's got the best job in showbiz, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's working hard.
He knows how to belittle people when they're trying their best, you know?
Yeah, working hard for tacos.
I'm a meat collector.
Yeah. Okay, so a lot going on in the world as far. We talked about Baylor's album dropped this week. I mentioned at the top of the show about Todd with Dr. Phil. So do you know who Mike White is?
I don't.
He's a person that's on the Amazing Race, and he's been in some movies. And apparently that he was the reason why he was hanging out at Jeff Probst's house. And according to an article that Jeff Probst, in an interview with Dalton Ross, that Jeff Probst told Mike White that he was going to have Redemption Island in the season. And Mike White was like, oh, really? Redemption Island again? And then Jeff Probst just said, that's it. No Redemption Island.
Wow, and that's why we got Exile Island again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Right. This is also set your DVRs.
To be fair, Redemption Island in the Blood vs. Water is perfect.
Yes.
This season would have been much more interesting with Redemption Island.
Better with Redemption Island.
Better than Exile Island. Way better. Exile Island is so boring. There's no value to Exile Island. Zero. Take Exile Island and flush it.
Yeah. Flush it.
Flush it like the idol.
Oh, my God. I'm okay with the Redemption Island pre-merge. If you could give me Redemption Island pre-merge, I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, you don't need it. You don't need it post-merge.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting when the dead talk and the family member's still there.
Yeah.
And that's how they see their family member got kicked
out.
Yeah, and they're right there. It's emotional.
Yeah.
It's a good concept.
Yeah. Also, set your DVRs tonight. I know you're off the grid. You're a cord cutter.
That's true.
But you won't be able to watch the E! True Hollywood Story tonight. Reveals lives of celebrities, quote unquote, after reality series. And it's going to include Johnny Fairplay on it. So you might have to come over my house tomorrow.
Oh. All right.
and watch that. We'll put on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse in the other room for the babies.
For the babies. Let River and Dom figure it out.
Me, you, and Vetus can watch. Johnny Fairplay on
now is this going to be akin to the Daniel Liu MTV
special? That was so good. You saw
that was really good.
Did we ever talk about this?
I think we did a little bit.
Oh my god,
Daniel Liu, I mean, this is your guy.
Yeah, so great.
You voted him out.
I did.
Yeah. Did you know that was going to lead to this?
No, I didn't know.
If you knew what this was going to lead to?
If you've never seen this, it was fantastic. It was Johnny Fairplay, Tanya from The Real World,
right.
And Daniel Liu. And Daniel Liu was like the best part.
He was amazing.
Captivating. Like, Daniel Liu is like calling up places and being
acting
like,
as his own publicist.
Like, hey, this is the publicist for the new hot reality star, Daniel Liu. And can he get a gift bag for this thing?
Like, yeah. Yeah, like really just milking it.
It was great.
Can you imagine if he won how much he would have milked it?
Oh, man.
Like, that's why I want Daniel Liu back on Survivor.
He's got to come back.
He needs to come back.
He's got to come
back. Can we start? That's the hashtag for this show. If you've listened all the way to here, hashtag bring back Daniel Liu.
Bring back Dan Liu?
Yeah.
What about bring back Dan Barry?
No, I want Liu.
What about bring back Dan Lembo?
No, I want Liu. Give me Liu or give me death.
Survivor Dan's versus Brian's.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Okay. Lots of Survivor birthdays also coming up this week. Okay. Stephanie Dill.
Okay.
Can you name the season?
No.
Thailand. Sarah Dawson.
No.
Philippines.
Okay. I should have known that.
Tina Shear. Happy birthday to Timber Tina.
Exile Island.
Yes.
12.
Janet Koth. Happy birthday.
You
59,
me.
Janet Koth.
You tell me the season.
Survivor Amazon.
Oh, there you go. That's yours.
She was our Melinda.
Okay. Right. Yes. Were you that honest with her?
No.
Okay.
No,
good.
But she's second person off. Boy, Janet Koth, 59. I would have thought she was 59 when we played Survivor.
Wow.
So she's looking
good. I hope she's not listening
to this. She's doing good. She's doing good.
Well, yeah, but you know.
That's good. She's not as old
the thing
as
is,
I thought
is that
she was.
You're saying is that when she was 50, she looked like she was 59.
47.
Look, you look 12 years older than you are.
Dolly Neely.
Was she on the first season?
No.
What was she on?
No. She was on Vanuatu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dolly, I feel like, of all the people on Vanuatu, is like the unsung beauty. Because there are so many beautiful girls on Vanuatu.
Are you friends with Dolly on Facebook?
No, I'm not friends with her on Facebook. Okay. Are you?
I believe I am.
Okay, well, go on. There's something there, Rob. And you're not let the cat out of the bag.
Let's go to tweets from the Survivor alumni.
I can't believe we're letting them get away with this. Rob, let's talk about Dolly for a little bit longer.
Russell Hance, he tweeted, you know it really sucks when you need to make half the episode about trail mix. Agree that trail mix is more interesting than half the cast. This is the most interesting trail mix of all time. Russell is really tweeting up a storm.
He's on fire.
I can't even stand to watch this season of Survivor. It's simply terrible. Hashtag idiots. Hashtag Survivor 29. Hashtag worst ever. Hashtag bad casting. It's like running out of letters.
Yeah, he's using every single digit.
Yeah. Rupert. We always talk about Rupert.
Yeah, is he tweeting?
Rupert's tweeting, yes.
Oh, and when did this start happening?
Well, apparently within the last like year and a half or so. I feel like he used to even tweet a little bit before Blood vs. Water.
Because I didn't really follow him on Blood vs. Water.
Well, the question that we have is that we think that sometimes Rupert might preload his tweets before Survivor then go out for the night. So you tell me. Here's Rupert's tweets from this week. He says, when you talk too much at Tribal, you become someone that isn't trusted. Hashtag Survivor.
Okay. So these are just like,
are these in the, live or that was he put that
definitely
like,
pre-planned for sure.
And we think he might write his tweets during the week and then load them into Tweet Deck or whatever.
Is he getting ready to write a book on this? Is this like going to be the BR rules except the Rupert Boneham rules?
Okay. Here's here's tweet number two. He says, as if Tribal isn't bad enough. It's raining. Hashtag Survivor. Well, he couldn't have known that it was going to rain.
So that has to be live.
That's live.
Unfortunately.
All right. Number three. Laura agrees. She just said tribal council is incredibly stressful. Hashtag survivor. What do you think?
Preloaded. For sure.
Preload. And last one. The application to play Survivor is now online. I'm filling out mine. Are you filling out yours?
Wow.
Now, wait. Does somebody from casting say to Rupert, like, hey, Rupert, we really need you to tweet about the casting thing?
No, but I think it's a way for him to stay relevant and start a conversation, because that's an engagement post.
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes like you'll see people like, hey, the thing went up for, like, you'll see like a lot of survivors like on the same day like tweet the same thing, like, nobody asked me to tweet that.
Yeah, no, I don't think people, I think they're just trying to stay relevant, you know.
Lynn, I talked to Lynn and she wants me to send, remind everybody.
I feel like tweeting that right now. I just talked to Lynn Spillman, head of casting.
She said go to CBSCasting.com. Yeah,
exactly.
What's the address? CBSSurvivorCasting.com?
She asked me to do the next season, but I'm unavailable. So if you're interested, there's a slot open.
Okay. Whoa. Is that a hashtag?
No, I just feel like that'd be a pretty funny thing to tweet.
Yeah, there's a slot open.
Or Facebook to all my Survivor friends.
Yeah. You'll get responses. Okay. Brian Cordan, Survivor Guatemala.
Yeah.
That he tweeted, my first live Survivor tweet. As a pre-juror from 9 years ago, I bring a lot of expertise to this conversation.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. A little bit of irony.
We have never had a person from Survivor Guatemala on the podcast.
Never. Not even Rafe, who lives here in the city?
I think he's a little hard to pin down.
Is he?
I think he's a little hard to pin down. At one point, I tried to get into contact with him. It didn't go well.
He's a writer, busy guy.
Busy. He's got actual stuff to do.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. And so we're going to correct that, and I will have an interview with the previously aforementioned Brian Cordan very soon.
Boom.
Yeah, look, early next week.
Yeah, I like Brian. You can also get, I feel like Boatwright would do it.
If you can help make the connection.
I'll send her a text and see if she's interested.
Yes, I have a lot of questions for her.
That's somebody who's excited to play again.
Yes.
Boatwright is like ready to go.
You said that. You said
Boatwright's ready to.
Well, this would be a great first step.
Yeah.
Of like.
Because you know.
Because what happened right before you went back on Survivor?
I went on Rob Has a Podcast. Yes. Is it a correlation or a causation? You be the judge.
Yes. Yes. How many times did Tyson win Survivor?
Once.
Yes. How many times did Tyson win Survivor before he was on this podcast?
Zero.
Okay.
Boom.
How many times did
I win Survivor after I went on the podcast? Never, but I've won life. I won Burning Man, too.
You won Burning Man?
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Against, it was you and Jerry and Courtney in the final three?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They got burned.
How many times did Cochran win Survivor before he was on the podcast?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Stephen Fishback, he tweeted, wow, I've never been more disillusioned with the idea of a winner's edit than when Sophie Clark won Survivor. you believe in winner's edit?
I do.
That was a question that I had for you today.
I do think there's an edit for a winner's, generally speaking. Yes. But I feel like...
Are you seeing it won this season?
Jeremy, potentially, is the only one who I think is getting it.
Yeah.
No, Jeremy and John. Sorry. Jeremy and John have winner's edits.
Mm-hmm.
But the last three seasons have kind of gone against the winner's edit.
Even Tyson?
Yeah.
I feel like Tyson got a winnery edit.
I feel like he got too much screen time.
Yes.
I feel like Tyson, Cochran, and Tony got too much screen time. In traditional Survivor seasons, that would have meant they would have gone home before the four or the five.
The problem was with Tyson and with Cochran, it was like there was no other viable person that you said could have won. And like once you got down to the final six, it was like, like Hayden, I guess, was a possibility in Blood vs. Water. But then once he was gone, it's like, well, who's going to win this season?
Yeah. Jervis?
I don't know.
Jervis could have. I mean, Jervis is interesting.
He's definitely an interesting guy.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting, but I don't know. Winner edit, I don't know about with that. With your
no, host. I agree with you. Okay. I agree with you.
Spencer tweeted, the hashtag Survivor Hangover after losing Josh Canfield is real. Okay.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So he was a big Josh fan.
He was. He was. I have no live tweets for you this week from Lisi Linares.
That's disappointing. I am going to tweet. Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely going to tweet out that I was asked from Lynn to play again and that I was unavailable and see if any of my Survivor Patriots compatriots want to fill my spot.
Oh, you'll get a lot of messages. You'll get a lot of messages. And you'll but the downside will be you will get a lot of like texts from people that will be like, dude, did you really? Did you really? Yeah. Like, did she ask about me? Dude, like, tell me what's going on.
Just had a great conversation with Lynn. Will you help me write this right now, actually?
Yeah, you want to write it live? We'll do it live.
All right.
We'll do it live. Okay. Here. So, here's the thing, though. You want it to be believable or you want it to be a joke?
I kind of want it to be believable, but enough so if you're witty, you get it.
It's like you got to be like, you don't want to be on the nose, so you want to be just got invited on another adventure of a lifetime, but it's like you want to be vague. Because there are survivors that do this, like, right, where they would be like, oh, gonna go do blah blah blah. You know, you want to be intentionally vague. What are you gonna say?
I'm saying just got off the phone with Lynn Spillman.
Okay, that's so not going vague.
Can't leave the little guy so soon. Anybody wants to take my place, DM me.
Whoa.
Check your DMs.
Okay.
All right. Now my hashtag is going to be RHAP. Yes. What should it be? Sticky situation. No,
bring back Dan Lembo. Bring back Dan Lembo.
I'm bringing back Dan Liu. Is it L-U-E?
Yes.
All right. Done.
That's not an at mention for Lynn, is it?
No.
Okay. Good. Good.
No, I don't want to offend her.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I have no live tweets for you from your girl, Lisey.
Let's hear this, though.
Yeah.
Let's just get in the vibe, because we're kind of at the home stretch of this thing.
Yeah. I'm like Terry Dietz bringing this in for a landing. A couple of weeks ago, we had the great Mike Bloom on the podcast talking about this. And he described Tidy Whitey's as the green eggs and ham of erotic music, which I thought was a very funny idea. But somebody... one of our listeners took it to another level. And this is Green Eggs and Ham set to Tidy Whitey's.
Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
This is amazing. I like the pause in between, too. I like the stutter.
Would you eat them in a box? Would you eat them with a fox? Not on a box, not with a fox, not in a house, not with a mouse. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I would not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
This is so good. I'm gonna need a copy of this.
Would you eat them used and abused? I would not eat them bruised or soused, little boy.
Oh boy. That's thank you to the great Shadow Box.
Very powerful. I hope you can get that on Spotify.
Next to the Baylor Wilson LP. Stuff. Oh my God, I can't breathe.
That was really good.
Yeah, very good, right? It's like
fantastic.
Dr. Seuss would be proud. Oh my God. Okay. Let's see. Let's take some a couple tweets from the RHAP Friends of Rob as a Podcast. Okay, here's the aforementioned Mike Bloom. He says that he tweets, let's have them all build a Mayan pyramid and then eat tacos. That is a quote from the always culturally sensitive survivor producer.
Pretty funny.
Okay. Jeff Pittman says, this survivor challenge should really spur tourism at all of Nicaragua's Mayan temples. Hashtag all zero of them. So they're a little playing a little fast and loose with locations.
Yeah, they're
it's
really,
like we're not in Guatemala, but we're just going to go.
We're
going
to pretend like the Mayans had 10%. Yeah. But you know what? The Mayans were in Nicaragua as well.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, if they were in Guatemala, then they were also in Nicaragua because they were also in the Yucatan, so they had to make it all the way down to Guatemala.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, good stuff. Good stuff.
Let me just look at a map before I feel like a total idiot for saying that. Hold on a second.
Oh, my God.
Oh, not necessarily.
Okay.
It's totally potentially that they didn't make it down to Nicaragua, but I would think they made it to Nicaragua. Let me just Google this. Let me see.
All right. Otis is Googling now.
Are there Mayan temples in Nicaragua?
No way am I going to Yemen. I finally decided, okay, I'll go. I'll go to a class. I'll check it out. Right?
Okay. While Otis is looking up maps right now, your hashtag is bring back Dan Liu.
Bring back Dan Liu.
Bring back Dan Liu. With the option to bring back Dan Barry or Dan Lembo.
Yeah, it's kind of up to you, really. Yeah. It's who do you prefer? But just know that if Dan Liu came back,
ding, marry, kill, real quick. Dan Barry, Dan Lembo, Dan Liu.
Can Dan Liu be all of them?
You're gonna kill him also?
Yeah. Well, you know, after I don't want anyone to know what I did.
I think you ding Dan Liu, marry Dan Barry, and kill Dan Lembo.
Okay. All right, well, look, I just found out that there are no Mayan temples in Nicaragua. So,
yeah, if Jeff Pittman says there's no Mayan temples in Nicaragua, then you got to believe him.
Yeah, well, I take it all back. The FAA made me do it.
Yes. All right. How's everything going? Shop Dawn?
Shop Dawn's great. That's my wife's clothing company that I kind of help her with. So if you have a...
But it's like a coat. Like, are you guys... Like,
She does all the design work.
Yeah.
She's the face of it. And I do all the back end stuff.
Yeah. So it's a collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like to let her kind of just be the one who takes the credit for it. And
yeah.
Then
I do something and my wife occasionally comes in and helps me with it. Like, this is real. You guys are
right.
Really.
No. We're really at it together. But, yeah. But just, I think it's a better story if it's more like it's Christie's company,
mm-hmm.
just generally speaking.
Yeah.
So I try to stay out of it. Like, if you're on the site, you'll never see anything.
But I think that's really cool that you guys can work together.
Yeah.
And
it's got its challenges. I mean, working with your partner sometimes can get really frustrating because it's hard to separate business and pleasure. And
yeah. There's like
pleasure.
Just like I would not go do a Survivor Blood versus Water season. I would not be able to do
So we just a lot of communication and fortunately there's a little separation of church and state. Like, she's responsible for the design and I do everything else. So.
Yeah.
But you know, then I get a little bit, I want to try to design something and I get slapped.
Yeah.
I stop wanting that.
Just stick the hats, buddy.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's doing really, really well. It's
shopdawn.com.
Yeah, shopdawn, DAWN.
Yes. Dawn Meehan.
Exactly.
Yes.
That was the inspiration. It's also Christy's middle name.
Yes. Have you talked to Dawn Meehan about modeling?
We've yet to ask her to do it because we actually prefer if she did it with dentures out, and we don't know if she's comfortable with that. So we've yet to have that conversation, but we think maybe give her a few more months to process.
Dawn Meehan, could you get her like with the Kim Kardashian pose? And then Jervis could Instagram it.
And Jervis could be shooting the champagne over.
Yeah.
Well, that's, there's a lot of things that could happen. Now, can we go just before we end this thing?
Yes.
Let's talk about Dolly and her Facebook page. Why'd you ask that? There's got to be some reasons.
There's no reason.
You're such a fucking liar. No, things are good at home. River's getting big. He's half as big as Dom.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, that is quite an accomplishment for any baby to be half as big as Dominic.
He's the dominator.
He's a big guy.
Yeah,
Dominic
is in
90th percentile in weight.
River is in the 90th percentile in height, and he's in the third percentile in weight. Okay. So he's like a skinny little string.
He's bizarro Dominic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This is good.
It's great. Thanks for having me.
The time flies by.
It does. It does. I look forward to seeing if any survivors DM me. I'll let you know.
tell us. I feel like there's a, you know, it's crazy. Like, we've gone on and on and on. I feel like there's so many things that we didn't get to, but,
this is it. Maybe I'd be curious to see, but let's quickly. So you're picked to win it all.
I would say it's Jeremy.
Okay, you're going Jeremy. I'm also going to go Jeremy.
Yeah.
So we're tied.
Yes.
We're locked into this
we're
together.
We're locked in.
And now your pick to win Mr. Survivor this year.
I don't want to jinx it. I think it's not fair for me to give a...
The facilitator for the election.
Right.
You can't have an opinion. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
I think this year, the winner is going to be Tony.
Tony.
Tony's going to win Mr. Survivor.
Yeah. I don't think Tony's going to campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like he will. He's or Spencer.
Tony.
What about Spencer? You think Spencer will campaign?
I think Spencer will campaign. Yes.
And what from this season? Who could potentially usurp? I mean, you have such an advantage. I feel like if you've already been there,
mm-hmm.
like to be the first season, or yeah. do you think you have an advantage to be the second season?
I think you have an advantage to be the second season
because you're fresher.
You have momentum.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I don't think Tony's going to campaign.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. What about...
I've asked Tony to do the podcast this season, and he has said that he's not so interested in Survivor right now.
Yeah, so. I understand that, though. Right after I won, I was like, I don't want anyone to know that I was on Survivor because I was so like inundated with
mm-hmm.
people wanting things from me, particularly yeah. family and friends wanting my money.
Yeah. I could see. I remember like around like that time, I got like a magazine and you were, in them. It was like a, some sort of like LA magazine.
Yeah.
And you had a shirt on that said, Stop Wars.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
And what happened to that, Otis?
Yeah, nothing.
What wars did you stop? You wore the t-shirt.
Internally. It was the internal war. My brother and I. That's all I have to say about that.
I didn't find yoga until I was about maybe 6 months out of jail. And these girls I got into high school with were like, Fetus, you should totally come to yoga. And I was like, no way am I going to yoga.
Yeah. And he did.
I don't know which clip is better. Is it the Fetus, you should totally come to yoga? Or is it the no way I'm going to yoga?
It's definitely the Fetus, you should totally come to yoga.
If you're listening to this, definitely go to Vimeo and type in Vetus.
Yeah.
And watch that video.
But go to like a minute and 30 seconds in.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
Yeah. What's the clip we want? It's like Reddit 1:30.
Yeah. Venus has a good message here.
Yeah, it's a great
it's a good
message. But you don't need to listen to that part. It's the no way I'm coming to yoga part.
All right,
I'm out of here.
All right. Otis is going to go. I'm going to see him out. I'm going to come back and have some closing words. My final thoughts for you guys in 2 seconds.
See you guys.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Otis Bushkauskas here in the studio. Great fun to get to hang out with Otis. And this is going to be the new longest podcast. This is like now the start of the season where they're just getting longer. I can't promise it's going to be a longer podcast week after week, but this is where the length starts to get a little unruly as we get down here, well past the 3 hour mark now for the first time this season. But really, really fun to get to hang out with Otis. Hope we didn't get too far off the beaten path at times, because it was a lot of fun. The time goes by so fast. It's like, you know, you're 20 minutes into this thing and it's like, okay, all right, we're on pace. And then it's like, oh my God, 3 hours in. And did we even cover anything? So thank you guys so much who made it this far. I really always appreciate it. It's going to be another fun show next week. We're going to have Sophie in. Again, that's going to be 3 winners in a row to go Parvati, Otis, Sophie. So Sophie is going to be my guest next week. I know she tweeted today that she was bummed out she didn't get to make fun of these guys last night after the episode. I have a feeling there'll be plenty to make fun of after this upcoming Thursday. So Sophie's the guest. Then voicemails. Kurt Clark is going to be on the voicemails next week, the tabulator. So it's going to be a very, very fun show. Also, I told you just a little while ago, Brian Corydon is going to be my guest over this upcoming weekend. And I'll get a podcast posted for you guys on Monday. So that's going to be another fun bonus coverage of Survivor San Juan del Sur. No Amazing Race coming up this Friday night. They're having some sort of award show on CBS. So No Amazing Race exit interview. So I'll have the podcast with Brian and then we'll pick it probably back up with Survivor Know-It-Alls this upcoming Wednesday. And who knows, maybe we might squeeze another show in before we get back to Survivor again. No Utopia, No Amazing Race this week. So it's just going to be all Survivor all the time for this week that's coming up. Meanwhile, over on post-show recaps, we've got a lot of stuff going on, of course. This weekend is Saturday Night Live. We'll be back with Rich Tackenberg to talk about the Woody Harrelson Saturday Night Live at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday if you want to watch that live. And then I'll get back into it with Josh Wigler. Walking Dead, episode number 6 of this season. That's going to be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, we've been covering Sons of Anarchy as well. Those shows go up on Wednesday on Post Show Recaps. And my Seinfeld Recap podcast keeps going along. The Parking Garage is going to be up this weekend. A very, very fun episode. I think that's the best of these episodes that we've watched yet on Post Show Recaps. All right. So thanks to everybody who became a patron this week. Always appreciate that. Thanks so much. We got the next patron cast is coming up, I believe, a week from this upcoming Monday. It's the Monday before Thanksgiving, which is going to be Monday the 24th. So it'll be a week from this upcoming Monday is going to be the next patron cast for those people that are members of the patron program. Always appreciate that. You can find out the benefits of becoming a patron at robiswebsite.com/patron. And also thanks so much to people who are starting to remember that Amazon link that we have for the podcast. I know holidays are coming up around the corner, and believe me, I'm not especially excited when to start hearing about the holidays coming up around this time. But if anybody's doing their early bird shopping for the holidays, we do appreciate it. Use our Amazon link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon in the U.S., robiswebsite.com/Amazon CA for those of you guys in the great white north in Canada. So thanks so much to everybody. Really am interested to hear what you guys have to say about this podcast in the comments. It should be a very busy Friday in the comments section. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
It takes a lot to cook some rice, especially when Dale and Muffin fight. A scoop of beans to add some fun. Sounds like a sticky situation. Too many cooks.